Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2017. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 712-770-4160, and our participant code is 385-698. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab. You can find that on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 30. It's quite a lot of verses. I kind of was breezing through to see what I was going to talk about tonight. We were running late, but I hit John very quickly, and I saw this, and I can't break this up, so we're going to read 30 verses. Usually we don't read that many verses, but we're going to do John chapter 4, verses 3 through 30. Okay, and the Lord Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me that water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, and he is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I think I'm going to stop there. Hold on. Yeah, we'll stop there. That's verse 30. Okay, anyway, that was the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 30. All right, let's see where we're going to go tonight. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of things happening, a lot of excitement, a lot of organization going on within National Liberty Alliance. We've got thousands of members, and it's time really to take a stand and start moving. You know, we've been trying to push things for about a year now, and we get closer and closer. Now we have a lot of opportunity here. A lot of the language that we use here at National Liberty Alliance, the things we talk about, because we talk about the law, we're talking about the Second Amendment and things of that nature. And anybody that's listening closely, the president is using the same language we're using, which means he's reading our papers, which he said he would. We've had some indirect contact with the president. And he has seen our papers, and he did request more indirectly to us, and we sent it to him, and we also served him papers, and we serve copies of everything we do now to him. And we're going to be serving this new paper that we're going to be filing in the courts this week, hopefully tomorrow. If we don't file it tomorrow, we'll file it on Wednesday. I think we're perfected at this point. The copy of the paper that we're going to look at tonight is up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, nationallibertyalliance.org, and if you go to highlight the grand jury, okay, and goodness, I just lost the page. There it is. Okay, if you go to highlight the grand jury and then click on docket, you'll get the page where we have all of our papers that we've been filing in the courts. And the paper we're going to be looking at tonight and reading, which number I think is going to change. We're just running late today, and I left the number that we had on it. I don't know why the paper's taken so long. Oh, there it is. Okay. Just refreshed. Okay. On the left side, you'll see papers filed. And we have paper number 1009-03, Governor Cuomo et al. So this is to the legislature and the governor of New York. A paper we're filing again either tomorrow or the next day. Not sure. I think it's dated for today. I don't recall. But we'll be reading through it again, and we may pick up some errors as we read tonight, and then we'll make the corrections for, you know, for tomorrow or the next day for whenever we file it. But here it is. Again, it is it's going to be filed in Albany, New York, which we have a case up there already, which we filed about goodness, we've already filed about 50 documents into the court at least. When you put together the papers filed, the evidences, the law documents, and the information and writs, we've filed all of that. And we've got numerous more papers filing, many, many cases filing in the same courts. And also we're going to be filing this copy of this paper also to the president. And also we're going to be pursuing the new United States Attorney General, who the president has assured us is going to enforce the law. And that's what we're interested in. So we're going to assume that as being truth and try to get a dialogue with him. We're going to file our papers with him also. We're going to ask him to supply us with prosecutors to prosecute these cases when they start to turn criminal, because these people just don't want to do the right thing. They want to continue to make war with we the people. And we've come to the end, and it's time to really bring in bring justice into our courts. So I'm going to read the paper again if anybody wants to follow along. National Liberty Alliance, you can put in .org/docket, or you can go under grand jury, click on docket, and it's paper number 1009-03, Governor A. Cuomo. And again, that number is going to change. I think we're going to move that to 2009, you know, because we have to try to keep the order of papers in a certain logic. But right now, that's the number it is for the moment. This is a writ of mandamus to show cause. It is addressed to the Governor Cuomo, the New York State Senate Majority Leader, and the New York State Assembly Speaker. And we do call them defendants in this case. It is an action at law under a court of record, under the rules of the common law, and we filed the necessary form to make sure they understand that this is under the common law. And it is being pursued by the grand jury, sovereigns of the court, we the people. And by the way, the magistrate, Lawrence E. Kahn, who was the original person who was set up for this case, that they changed the judge in this. And we're going to talk a little bit about the judge that they've changed to because it's very interesting. But they changed the judges. I don't have his name right here in front of me, but I have a note here somewhere. When I finish the paper, we'll look him up and we'll talk a little bit about him. And he may be the guy we want to hear our case, you know. Okay, here's the paper. We, the sovereign people of the United States of America, under the power and authority of the sureties of the peace, here and after the grand jury, whereas the unified common law grand jury arose out of we, the sovereign people, in each of the 50 states, which came together to form a unified United States common law grand jury. And in this court of record, hereby demand that Governor A. Cuomo, New York State Senator Majority Leader John Flanagan, New York State Assembly Speaker Carl Heste, hereinafter the defendants, to give a verified accounting of defendant stewardship by showing cause concerning the defendant's contempt for the unalienable rights of we the people, we the sovereign people, to bear arms protected by the Second Amendment. New York State Majority Leader John F. Flanagan is being served on behalf of the entire Senate and is to provide copies to all members of the Senate. New York State Assembly Speaker Carl E. Heste is being served on behalf of the entire Assembly and is to provide copies to all members of the House. Anyone who said, Jan, am I coming through okay, by the way? I guess I'm coming through, right?
Yes, you're coming through just fine, John. You're coming through just fine, John.
Right, I didn't see my thing moving back and forth. I see it now. Yeah. Okay.
I can hear you fine, though.
Okay, thank you. Okay, provide copies to all members of the House. Defendants are elected representatives and have a legal and moral duty to speak directly to we the sovereign people, unfiltered. That means without an attorney. Defendants being stewards were vested constitutional authority, do not have the right to remain silent or the right to an attorney concerning questions of their vested actions. Answers to the grand jury in this action through an attorney will be considered a non-answer. Hired servants are required to give an account to the master directly and upon demand. Any resistance can only be equated with fraud. And then we quoted the U.S. versus Tweel and Carmine versus Bowen, which says silence can only be equated with fraud when there is a legal or moral duty to speak or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. Jurisdiction, Article 3, Section 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. This Article 3 Court of Record proceeding under the common law has jurisdiction for cause, violating Amendment 2. For cause, the governor and legislators of both houses violated 42 U.S. Code 1983 and entered into a conspiracy to disarm we the sovereign people when they passed under the color of law statutes, ordinances, and regulations in New York State, thereby causing we the sovereign people to be deprived of our unalienable right to bear arms secured by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. For cause, the governor and legislators of both houses violated 42 U.S.C. 1985-3 and entered into a conspiracy to disarm we the sovereign people when they passed under the color of law statutes, ordinance, and regulations in New York State, knowingly causing swarms of code enforcement officers under the color of law disguised as law enforcement officers sent upon our highways for the purpose of depriving we the sovereign people by force, intimidation, and threat, the equal protection of the laws of our unalienable rights to bear arms secured by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. For cause, the governor and legislators of both houses violated 42 U.S.C. 1986 and entered into a conspiracy to disarm we the sovereign people when they knowingly neglected and refused to prevent the passing and signing into statutory law repugnant to the Constitution and the laws of the United States, statutes, ordinances, and regulations of New York State for the purpose of depriving by force, intimidation, and threat we the sovereign people the equal protection of the laws of our unalienable right to bear arms secured by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. For cause, the governor and the legislators of both houses violated 18 U.S.C. 241 and entered into a conspiracy to disarm we, the sovereign people, when they knowingly conspired to injure, oppress, threaten, and intimidate by the passing and signing into statutory law repugnant to the Constitution and the laws of the United States legislation preventing the free exercise and enjoyment of we, the sovereign people's unalienable right, causing swarms of code enforcement officers under the color of law, disguised as law enforcement officers, sent upon our highways for the purpose of depriving by said force we, the sovereign people, the equal protection of the laws of our unalienable rights to bear arms secured by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. For cause, the governor and legislators of both houses violated 18 U.S.C. 242 and entered into a conspiracy to disarm we the sovereign people when they willfully conspired to deprive we the sovereign people of our unalienable right to bear arms secured by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, subjecting we the sovereign people to punishments, pains, and penalties. Thomas Jefferson, founder of the American Freedom Formula, warned, "No freeman shall be debarred of the use of arms. When governments fear the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Therefore, when governments are seized by tyrants, as is the present case in New York State, the disarming of we, the sovereign people, is just the beginning of a long train of abuses these tyrants intend on imposing upon we, the sovereign people. The only reason in the United States, and many unarmed countries around the world remain free today is because we, the sovereign people of the United States of America, are armed. See attached memorandum in support of Amendment 2. We'll read that memorandum in support of Amendment 2 next week. I'll post it up this week when we file the papers. Maybe tomorrow, the next day, we'll post that memorandum up there so people can pre-read that. But we'll probably read that next Monday. Resolutions initiated by our founders. We, the sovereign people, ordained and established through the Constitution for the United States of America and our state constitutions the following resolutions. It has been resolved that we, the sovereign people from whom all laws derived, ordained, and that in order to prevent misconstruction of abuse of legislative and judicial powers, resolved that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, among which were the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. It was resolved that we, the sovereign people, establish and ordain the law of the land through constitutions that govern all elected and appointed servants, outside of which there can be no law-making. It has been resolved that we, the sovereign people, are independent of all legislative statutes, codes, rules, and regulations are for the aforesaid government authorities, and not we, the sovereign people. It has been resolved that we, the sovereign people, are independent in all of law laws, except those prescribed by nature. It has been resolved that unalienable rights are not to be defeated under the name of local practices. The state is not to violate the plain and obvious principles of the state. The state is not to violate plain and obvious principles. The state is not to diminish unalienable rights. And the state is not to violate common reason. It has been resolved that the state may not convert a right into a crime. It has been resolved that states have no authority to impose a permit or a penalty for exercising an unalienable right. It has been resolved that all laws repugnant to the Constitution and restrictions concerning the unalienable rights of we, the sovereign people, that Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York legislators, and all other state legislators and governors have placed upon we, the sovereign people, are null and void, and in reality are no law, but are wholly void and ineffective for any purpose. It has been resolved that we, the sovereign people, are under the laws of nature's God, also known as common law. The significance of this prerogative is found in his judges, also known as the jury, the tribunal, or the king's bench. It has been resolved that It is we, the sovereign people, as grand jurists, who, when there is an injured party, decide if a crime has been committed, not legislators or prosecutors imposing their will upon ours in an effort to control our behavior. It has been resolved that it is we, the sovereign people, as petty jurists, who enforce the law of God that are written in the hearts of men, not written by legislators or enforced by servant judges. It has been resolved that, for the defense and protection of the state and of the United States, is the obligation of the sovereign people, also known as the militia, to be armed. This is necessary to the security of a free state to protect against enemies, both foreign and domestic. Any act of disarming freemen violates their unable right to defend themselves from the very tyrants that try to disarm them. It has been resolved that the disarming of we, the sovereign people, is an act of war in violation of 18 U.S. Code 2381, treason, and 18 U.S.C. 2384, seditious conspiracy. We read in, U.S. versus Will, no state legislator, and many other quotes here too, Cohen versus Virginia, quite a few of them. No state legislator or executive or judicial officer can war against the Constitution without violating his undertaking to support it. We read from Cooper versus Aaron, any judge who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution of the United States wars against that Constitution and engages in acts in violation of the supreme law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. War. As with our founding fathers, so with their posterity. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of we, the sovereign people, through untainted juries, free committeemen, and the supreme law of the land. These have been seized by party bosses and corrupt judges and orchestrated by the bar and orchestrated by the bar, hell-bent to maintain the status quo, inflicting upon we the sovereign people a long train of abuses and usurpations, invariably pursuing the same objective, which demonstrates a design to subjugate us under absolute despotism. To prove this, we submit the following facts. These usurpers refuse assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. These usurpers relentlessly try to disarm us, exposing us to all the dangers of invasions from within and without. These usurpers obstruct the administration of justice. These usurpers make judges dependent upon their will alone. These usurpers erected a multitude of new officers and sent hither swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out our substances. These usurpers subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving assent to their acts of pretended legislation. These usurpers conduct mock trials imprisoning patriots as terrorists. These usurpers tax our rights. These usurpers deprive us from our inalienable rights of trial by an untainted jury of our peers. These usurpers try us for pretended offenses in jurisdictions unknown. These usurpers are abolishing our most valuable laws and fundamentally altering the form of our governments. These usurpers declare themselves invested with power not vested them by our Constitution. These usurpers wage war against us. These usurpers have destroyed the lives of many of our people. These usurpers have been deaf to the voice of justice. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been unanswered only by repeated injury. Servants whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be a steward of the free people. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarranted jurisdiction over us. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity to disavow these usurpations. We must therefore hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. That's a quote in the Declaration of Independence. As a matter of fact, this whole thing is framed around the same wording to some degree of the Declaration of Independence. This is not a lawsuit. This is a revolution, not to overthrow, but to restore, not to bring violence, but justice, not to bring upheaval, but law and order. A revolution in the spirit of the words of President John F. Kennedy, who gave his life for it, saying, a revolution is coming, a revolution which will be peaceful if we are wise enough, compassionate if we care enough, successful if we are fortunate enough, but a revolution which is coming, whether we will it or not, we can't affect its character. We cannot alter its inevitability. That was President John F. Kennedy. America can only be great again if we are blessed with the unadulterated laws and liberties that our Creator bestowed upon us. We, the sovereign people, stand at the precipice, whereas America will only be as great as its laws and its obedience to the same. And that starts right here, right now, with this action at law in this court. We, the sovereign people, will not be overturned by a hired servant. You are either with us or against us. Conspiracy. The false impressions given by the enemy of we, the sovereign people, that these resolved issues are moot, is the propaganda of lawless servants. Snared by the poison of the National Lawyers Guild, it is the nation's oldest and largest progressive bar association, a communist organization hell-bent on the destruction of our constitutional republic. Now, we attached a paper, by the way, and we got a note here. See, attached report on the National Lawyers Guild, legal bulk work of the Communist Party by the Committee on Un-American Activities, House Report number 3123, the 81st Congress, second session. And that was the Reese Committee that was took up, I think, in the late 40s, maybe 48, 49, and I think the results came in, or the conclusions in the 50, and this report was issued and ignored by the rest of Congress, because they controlled Congress back then, by the way. And we were already an oligarchy to some degree back then. Presidents were trying to break away, and Kennedy was the last one that tried to break away from it, and we saw what happened to him. But in any event, we have a copy of this paper up on the evidence on the same page where you would find a copy of this paper on the docket page. So you could read it. It's quite a few pages. I think it's like 60 pages long, the report. On the bottom of page, by the way, where the docket is found, you'll find an individual. His name is Norman Dodd. We have a video. It's about 49 minutes long. It seems longer than that when you listen. The guy talks kind of slow, but he says so much in so few words. And he was the lead person of the Reese Committee that came out with the report concerning un-American activities with inside our government back in the late 40s and early 50s. It's a very interesting story. Anybody who hasn't heard of this or haven't seen this interview with Norman Dodd, I think it was back in 1982, you need to really listen to that interview to really get the missing pieces of history, and it brings everything together on what's really going on in this country and how they have seized control of us through these trusts. All right, anyway, let's get back to the paper here.
I'm here, John.
Okay. Okay, so let me get back here. We'll pick up a communist organization hell-bent on the destruction of our constitutional republic that have seized control of our government at every level, whereas no decision is made, no law is passed, and no issue is resolved without the seditious bar orchestrated legislation intended to regulate our liberties and eventually abolish them, a necessity of their new world order. The bar has convinced the populace that the United States is a democracy, which is a stepping stone to totalitarianism, and that by orchestrating a popular demand through fear is then able to legislate statutes and abrogate the unalienable rights of we, the sovereign people. Democracy and totalitarianism are types of governments that offer different ways of making decisions on behalf of the people they govern. They share some similarities and at the end of the day yield the same results. While one focuses in on oppression, the other embraces the differences of people until egotistical tyrants seize control and over time convince the sheeple to vote away their liberties as it morphs into totalitarian. As John Adams commented, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. Article 4, Section 4 declares the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Under our common law republic, a constitution ordained by the people is the supreme law of the land, to be followed and obeyed by all elected and appointed servants. While we, the sovereign people, are under the laws of the governor of the universe, legislators may not add to them. All legislated codes, rules, regulations, and statutes are for governmental and corporate agencies as defined under Article 1, Section 8 and 9. We, the sovereign people, are responsible to govern our own behavior and answer to courts of justice under the common law when we injure our fellow man. We, the sovereign people, hereby demand that Governor A. Cuomo, New York State Senator Majority Leader John Flanagan, New York State Assembly Speaker Carl Hestie, answer the following directly and specifically without counsel, as is the defendant's duty as trustee. 1. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, in 1776 declared our independence because of government abuse of our liberties. 2. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, in 1789 ordained and established the Constitution for the United States of America. 3. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, ordained and established the New York Constitution. 4. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, in 1789 expressed the desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its power, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Therefore, in 1791, resolved that the Bill of Rights be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution, viz. 5. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, included within said bill that the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. 6. Admit or deny that requiring a license or permit to own or carry a handgun is an infringement. 7. Admit or deny that legislators must have written constitutional authority to write legislation. 8. Admit or deny that all codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities and corporations and not we, the sovereign people. 9. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, are independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. 10. Admit or deny that unalienable rights are not to be defeated under the name of local practices. 11. Admit or deny that the state is not to violate plain and obvious principles. 12. Admit or deny that the state is not to diminish unalienable rights. 13. Admit or deny that the state is not to violate common reason. 14. Admit or deny that the state may not convert a right into a crime. 15. Admit or deny that states have no authority to impose a permit or penalty for exercising an unalienable right. 16. Admit or deny that all laws repugnant to the Constitution are null and void and is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose from the time of its passage. 17. Admit or deny that we, the sovereign people, are under the laws of nature, nature's God, also known as common law. 18. Admit or deny that it is we, the sovereign people, as grand jurist, who when there is an injured party, decide if a crime has been committed, not legislators or prosecutors imposing their will upon ours in an effort to control our behavior. 19. Admit or deny that it is we, the people, we, the sovereign people, as petty juries, who enforce the laws of God that are written in the hearts of men, not written by legislators or enforced by servant judges. 20. Admit or deny that for the defense and protection of the state and of the United States is the obligation of we the people, also known as militia, to be armed. 21. Admit or deny that any act of disarming freemen also violates their unalienable right to defend themselves from tyrants that try to disarm them. 22. State what article and subsection in New York State Constitution authorizes defendants to write and enforce subsection This is a New York State Code, subsection 265.20. Now, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 all say the same thing, just give different numbers. You know, it says the state what article is subsection of New York State Constitution authorizes defendant a right in force subsection 35.20, subsection 260.10, so on and so forth. Then 32, which is the last one, state what article and subsection in the New York State Constitution authorize the defendant to write and enforce any statute that can regulate the Second Amendment. An accepted response to this action, we probably should change that word accepted or to acceptable, maybe. I'm going to make a note there. Okay, an acceptable response to this action without having to answer the aforesaid 32 question is to respond with a written and articulate open acknowledgement of error and nullification of law, all laws repugnant to the Second Amendment. Wherefore, now, wherefore clause, I think a lot of people who've been around with us for a while understand what a wherefore clause is, and this is what we expect the court to do should they default, in other words, not answer. And if they answered through a lawyer or an attorney, it's a non-answer. They have a duty to speak themselves, not through a filter. Wherefore, we the sovereign people demand that Governor Cuomo, New York State Senate, New York State Assembly, cease all unconstitutional actions and stop blindly approving bar legislation into law that are repugnant to the Constitution. All legislation is to state clearly by what authority they act upon. The common ploy moving the court for dismissal for no standing using an attorney's general with a concurring judge in order to shield government servants is for slaves, not sovereigns, and moot. We, the sovereign people, will not accept a dismissal. Hold on a minute. Will not accept a dismissal. Magistrates have no such leave in any court to record Magistrates have no such leave in any court of record to dismiss by summary proceedings. If the defendants fail to answer unfiltered, we the sovereign people authorize the movement of this court for a default, rendering all legislative infringements upon the Second Amendment null and void in the United States, including and not limited to New York State Code, subsection 265.20, 265.01, 700.00, 400.00, 265.00, 265.02, 265.035, 35.032, 265.10, and subsection 2230. And the court is to direct all county sheriffs to protect the people from the state and federal enforcement agents who are to cease and desist all abuse against we the sovereign people for exercising of our unalienable right to keep and bear arms protected by the Second Amendment. And then we have another quote at the end of this in Latin, which is being interpreted as wherever there is doubt between liberty and slavery, the decision must be in favor of liberty. And, of course, the seal and the date. We have February 24th date on here. Let me see. Today is the 27th. We're looking to probably serve this again either tomorrow, the 28th, or March the 1st. So Tuesday or Wednesday, tomorrow or Wednesday or the next day. Anyway, that's the paper here. And, you know, we got a little more cleaning up. As I was reading it, I saw we have a little cleaning up to do. And so we're going to clean this paper up a little bit, and we'll get it out in the next 24 to 48 hours. It'll be served, and then we'll reset the new paper up there. We also will post up there, as I mentioned before, the memorandum of law concerning the Second Amendment, which I think is a very powerful paper. Also, we'll probably read that next week, as I mentioned, and again, that'll be posted up in the next couple of days. Those who haven't read these papers on this page, this is an education, all of these papers read together. We've been working on this and filing papers for well over a year now, and this is the fruits of our labor on this page right here, this page on our website. And We have written many of these papers. All of the papers that we're filing, we've written for this particular case, which we've just written in the past month or two. I think we started writing on this in January or late December, and we filed. We opened the case. Goodness, I think it was the beginning of January, and we started serving in the middle of January, if I recall. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know. But we've been, investigating a lot of these things, bringing evidence together, information writs and law documents in order to go forward with this. We have filed some 35-plus habeas corpuses. We're hopefully getting ready to go back to file more habeas corpuses. We're also going to start collecting affidavits on different things. I don't know if we're going to get into that tonight, but we will talk. Well, I think we will get into that tonight. Jen, did that... there was a woman that called me up during the week, and I sent it to you, and we tried to get her on. Did she say she was going to be on tonight? Did you get a phone number that we can kind of flag her to bring her up front?
That's Mary, and Gary Will was trying to reach her, and she has a mailbox that wasn't set up yet, so we haven't been able to get a hold of her as far as I know. Is Gary on the call tonight?
Okay, I'm just going to give a brief thing, and then Gary can come and talk a little bit if he wants as soon as I finish up. But basically what we're going to do, I'll give you a quick synopsis of a story, and this is just one of many, many, many that we hear about here at National Liberty Alliance. We have one of our friends and members out of California, Dr. Fred, who has a story that's heartbreaking and really... really disturbing story on his son and his son's business associate, who's serving, I think, a 20-year jail sentence, if I remember. And I think they've been in jail about 10 years now or something like that. And they've committed no crime. And I'll give you an example of one that we just heard this week, and I was just appalled by it. And we're going to try to help this woman and anyone else that has a story of this type. Okay, this is something that is clear, okay? We want people to do affidavits, and we want to bring this into the courts, into our court case that we're building right here, that we're filing this paper and the 20 other or so papers that we've already filed, plus all of our evidence. We're also dealing with the Robinson case out in Montana. We're also out there with the Bundys out there in Nevada, which we haven't filed any papers on them yet, but we're getting ready to. We filed papers out in the Oregon case concerning the wildlife preserve. We're going to Chase. We've met with the Finnegan family, at least his wife and one of his daughters. And we spoke with them, I think it was about a week ago or so. We're going to be pursuing that case because, for the assassination of Lavoy Finnegan. And we want to bring all these other cases that we're going to talk about. I want to, again, just tell this little story. This woman called me up. She has a son. And his son was 18 at the time. He's in jail serving a life sentence. He's served 8 years so far of that life sentence. He was arrested for, what was that called? With the murder, not conspiracy, but some kind of...
accessory, too.
An accessory. I think that's what it was. Accessory to murder. He was arrested and convicted for accessory to murder. Now, in that process, what happened, he was heading someplace. I don't know whether he was going to work or wherever he was going someplace. And one of his friends, which I guess was about the same age, asked him for a ride. And he gave him a ride and dropped him off at a certain place. And then he continued on his way for his business and went home. He later was arrested for accessory to murder, because he was pointed out as an individual who gave a ride to the person to the crime scene, okay? Now, the person who was being tried for murder was acquitted, okay? I'm not sure whether he was just acquitted, period, or it was self-defense. Do you recall, Jen?
Self-defense.
Okay.
It was self-defense.
The court ruled that was self-defense. Meanwhile, this individual, they had separated the case, and he was tried under a different jury in a different court, probably in the same building, but different courtroom. And I think the first case was heard second, so the actual murder was heard second, and him being accessory to the murder was heard first. In any event, either way how it happened, irrelevant to the point, he was convicted of accessory to murder when the person who he was supposed to assist was acquitted of murder, and he now is serving a life sentence, and like I said, he's 8 years in of a life sentence, and even the judge who was a nobody's doing anything to get this man out of jail. I like to call him a kid. He went in when he was a kid, 18 years old. He's still a kid, 26 or whatever it is. Okay. This is the kind of a court case. We want people with affidavits. People who have this kind of a story with someone in their family, a friend, a relative, a neighbor, or whatever, or themselves, under these kind of a situation that is so clear that there's nothing to talk about. We want affidavits on that. We're going to also bring this to the attention of the president. We saw that the president met with, I'm kind of mixing things up because we've got so many cases we're involved here. We saw that the president has met with the oil people, met with the miners, okay, out there out west, okay. And we know that he's been paying attention to the ranchers, but he hasn't talked about them yet. And we think we understand why he's still silent on that. I think the investigation is still ongoing. And I truly think that he's ready to make some arrests on some of these people that have destroyed the lives of so many ranchers out there and families and murdered Lavoy Finnegan. And hopefully he's looking into the murder of, the assassination of Lavoy Finnegan. Anybody who doesn't know who Lavoy Finnegan is and wants to know about him, you'll find a video quite long. It's about 2.5 hours long on our front page, and that's how important we feel that case is to our movement here at National Liberty Alliance. This is a man that definitely was killed because he went up against the government. And all it was words. All it was words. He was very humble, very polite, very quiet, soft-spoken individual. Just wanted to see justice, just wanted the government to do the right thing, just wanted to be left alone out on the prairie with his cows and his ranch with his family, and they just wouldn't leave him alone, and they finally just killed him. In any event, these are the stories, these are the cases we are pursuing, and we intend on doing something about it, and we will be informing the president on all this and also making a copy of everything we're doing to the United States Attorney General. And again, we're expecting him to help us with prosecutors. We want prosecutions going on in this case. These are not civil cases we're filing. These are not lawsuits. This is much, much more than that. This is almost a declaration of independence from tyrants that have seized control of our government. We here at National Liberty Alliance, we're not anti-government at all. Government is important, but we have government by the consent of the people. And tyrants have taken the controls of our government, and we need to identify these individuals, and we need to put them in jail where they belong. And some of them need to pay the highest cost for that crime. And that's up to the jury to decide. That's not up to us. Okay. Anyway, we want to once we get this paper perfected, we're going to push it hard in New York. We have some organizations. There's an organization in New York called Scope. They're fighting the gun battle here in New York up against the SAFE Act and all these things that the New York legislator and the governor is pursuing to really take our weapons away here. And there's also other gun clubs and organizations. We have some connections into, we know people involved in that. We want to get this out to them so that they can get it out to their people and kind of support this court case we have going to get behind us. But we also want to extend this out of New York. What happens in New York is going to happen in California and Texas and New Jersey and any other state you want to mention, because this case is not just for New York. This is a federal case in a federal district. Not only concerning, and we're trying to be very careful in the wording to go beyond New York here. If it's one here, it's one in every district. Your federal court district, it doesn't have, doesn't see unalienable rights here as one way in this district and different than another district. What's good for this district is good for that district. And if there is any controversy, then the United States Supreme Court can try to get involved. And if we have to, we will overrule them by pursuing the court of record, which is higher than the United States Supreme Court, which means the people get to decide. They get to decide by jury. And we will work with the local process that they use to gather together a jury, a trial jury, but we will orientate them. We will protect them and make sure that they're not tainted by these people, and then they can hear the case and decide. You know, the people make the law, not our servants. And this is an important thing. You know, it took me a while to get my head wrapped around this, and I understand it more than I ever did. The legislators have no power, no authority to make any code, statute, regulation, or anything for me. We've gone there. You go read the Constitution. I believe it's, well, I know it's Article 1, Section 8 and 9, I think, particularly 8, of course, which list out all of the numbered powers. There are 18 powers we've given them, okay? And you won't find anywhere where we've given them the power to make any legislation to control the behavior of we, the people. They have no power, no authority. We've given them no power to regulate our control of our own arms, whether we carry a sidearm, whether we, you know, conceal it or not. And in our paper that we wrote concerning the memorandum concerning the Second Amendment, I believe it was in that paper, and that we make the point we're not just talking about just any weapon. We're talking about a military-grade weapon. It is the right of we the people. We should probably put it in this paper, as a matter of fact. It is the right of we the people to own and be able, and it's our duty to know how to use that weapon. We should practice with that weapon, a military-grade weapon. That is our right because we are responsible for the protection of our borders. I'm not sure, because I mentioned this a little earlier tonight in an earlier meeting, but I'm not sure I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. New York State's Constitution concerning the militia and bearing of arms is very short, and it's only about one or two sentences in the whole section, and it goes to the next section. And it basically, to summarize it up, really, is ultimately, it is the duty of the people of New York to protect and defend the borders of New York State. It is their duty. Now, how can the people have that duty and protect that if they don't have a weapon? Okay? Clearly, this is what we're all about. We are free because we are armed. Our founding fathers understood that. They made that clear. Anybody who reads the Federalist Papers sees that, knows that. Any judge who has studied that knows that. And if they deny it, then they're the enemies of the people. They have made war against the Constitution. They are guilty of treason, and they need to deserve, they deserve the penalty for treason. Okay, let's see where we're going to go from here. Organizing. We've been organizing now, we've been organizing for years, actually, but now it's time to wake up a lot of people that have kind of fallen asleep. We've got, I think it's about 900 people. That, and Jan, correct me on my numbers if I'm wrong here, but we got about 900 people who are coming up, taking the courses for the purpose of becoming administrators. Now, administrators of the juries. We have 3,133 or 34 counties in America. Some of them are pretty rural, so, you know, let's say 3,130 counties, roughly speaking. And each one of those counties need to have four administrators, which would be the investigative body for the grand jury and also the administrators for both grand and petty jury for the purpose of orientating them and making sure they're not abused by the prosecutor or the judge and not tainted by either of those two people also. So that we have a jury that comes in and understands the power of nullification, understands that they are the final discerner of law and not the legislators. When a judge comes in and says, you know, you can decide the facts, but I'll tell you the law. Not so. Go back and read our history. Jefferson was clear on this. The Kentucky Resolution, clear on this. Federalist Papers, clear on this. Every founding father, clear on this. Okay? We, the people, are the discerners of law. That's what it's all about. We are the writers of law. We wrote it. It's called the Constitution for the United States of America. It's called the Bill of Rights. It's called the Declaration of Independence. That is the law. That is the foundation of our law, where we called upon our unalienable rights and connected ourselves under the laws of nature's God. So we are judged by the laws of nature's God. They are judged by the laws, our laws of the people, the Constitution. And we've given them legislative powers to regulate certain authorities as far as, you know, commercial business, regulations of different things, and to regulate themselves, you know. Regulations are normally written up within the agencies themselves. The top tier creates the regulations. As new administrations come in and out, you know, a lot of people may not know this, and because I'm learning all this myself. So, but you know, when you look into the president's cabinet, okay, he's got in his cabinet all of the people, the top tier of all of the federal agencies. Okay, and that top tier, you know, they control so many different agencies underneath them. You got the law enforcement agencies running down that level, and all these different agencies. But the top tier of those agencies, or the people close to the top tier, and with the approval of the top tier, ultimately from the president, who has the final decision making on this, gets to write the regulations for these people. And certain regulations have been in place for a very, very long time. And that's to control the structure. It's called policies and procedures, ultimately, in the business world. You know, when I was running a corporation and I was involved in some large construction sites and stuff, we had policies and procedures. People followed policies and they followed procedures. You had law and order on a construction site by that process. Same thing with these agencies. And any corporation runs that way. It's the same thing with these agencies. They have to have policies and procedures. This is the way you're going to act. This is the way you're going to respond. This is what you're going to do. And something outside of that, you got to go up line to find out how to respond. And this way it's consistent and it remains the same. Every once in a while, they get to change those regulations. But it has nothing to do with we the people. They can't regulate we the people. They don't give us regulations. They can't codify our unalienable rights. They can't turn statutes into law upon us. People need to get their head around this. And again, I know it's hard in the beginning because we've been drilled. We walk before a judge and we give them all that authority and we go to jail like obedient sheep. And we just let it go because we're ignorant. Keep the slaves ignorant. Keep the slaves ignorant. We're ignorant slaves until we become free men. And you're not going to become free men until we become men of knowledge. Jefferson said it. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. They expect what never was and never will be. And so there we are. That's where we're at. We need to understand the law, the abuse that these people have put upon us. These city courts have no power, no authority. To fine or incarcerate. As a matter of fact, let me make this crystal clear, okay? And this is in many Supreme Court rulings, okay? Anything but a court of record. And a court of record is a court with a jury, okay? So let's make that clear. That's the key part, what makes a court of record different than any other court. The United States Supreme Court himself has already declared that a court of record is a higher authority than we. It doesn't matter what the United States Supreme Court says. If a court of record rules above that, that's it. End of subject. It doesn't matter. They can't overrule it. When a jury makes a decision of guilt, the United States Supreme Court cannot even overturn that. A lot of people, they try to get, you know, take it to the Supreme Court. That's why they very rarely hear cases. The only cases they will hear is a case where someone's rights was violated in the process of that court case. And only then will they hear it for the sake of the person whose rights, whoever that might have been, has been violated. But if they think the United States Supreme Court is going to overrule or overturn a court's decision by a trial jury, that cannot be. Not to say that it hasn't happened. I don't believe it has happened, but it might have. I know there are judges that have overruled juries and decided to call for another trial. We've got a case in Montana, okay, out in Oregon, the Hammonds case, okay, where they were tried, okay, let me think if this was the right case. I think this wasn't it, the Montana case is where the double jeopardy took place, where they tried Mr. Robertson, I think, and then when that trial was.
That was the Hammonds, John,
Hammonds had a different kind of a problem. The Hammonds case Maybe it was both on the Hammond's case. I know the Hammond case, they went to jail.
The judge was cool and unusual, and he didn't give them the minimum, and they overturned it. The district judge
That's the other side. Well, let me give you the two things, and then correct me on this, because I'm not sure. I think it was the Robinson and the other one. With the Hammond's case, I believe it was the case where they went in, they tried them, they found them guilty. They served X amount of years in jail. They let them go. They were home for 4 years. And then all of a sudden it surfaced again, and the judge decided they didn't serve enough time. They called them back in, and they put them in jail for a couple more years. That I know is the Hammond's case. Then there is another case, which may have been the Hammond's case, the first part of it, but I think it was the Robertson case, where the jury came in and acquitted him. They acquitted him. And then they tried him again. Okay, I think that was the Robinson case. We'll correct that next week if nobody knows the answer to that today. We'll look into that and correct that one. But anyway, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. That's not possible. You know, when there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a, what do you call a jury? What do they call that when the jury doesn't have a decision?
A hung jury.
A hung jury, yes. There's no such thing as a hung jury. It doesn't exist, okay? Go back into and see some of the things that some of the judges done in the past. You know, the jury come and couldn't, you're going to stay there until you figure it out. That's the duty of the people. They have a duty to figure it out. And you know what? Amongst themselves, if they come to the point that they can't figure it out, they have no other choice but to acquit them. You know, you got X amount of people, 12 people making a decision. If 11 say guilty and one says not guilty and they can't figure that out and they can't fix that problem and they keep there for days and weeks and months or whatever, you know what? They may just come to the conclusion, well, we got to let them go. Acquit them. Better a free man, better an innocent man walk than go to jail, okay? Now, how does that put them? Better than a guilty man walk than a free man go to jail, okay? So these people have really, you know, we're suckered. We're sheeple. We've given our freedom up. Because we have no knowledge. We perish for lack of knowledge, and so we have to get to know the law, and we need to win this court case. And this court case here, particularly on the Second Amendment, is just one of about 40 cases we're filing here up in New York, across the United States. In every state here, we've got a case pretty, almost in every state, we've got cases. We probably will eventually have cases in every state. And that's going to be tried here because they're all connected. It's all conspiracy. It's the same thing. We can show conspiracy in 94 of the 94 federal district courts. We have enough evidence already to show conspiracy between all of them, not only the chief clerks, but the chief judges, but also the chief clerks and all the judges underneath them. We can show that. If we put all of these people in jail that are guilty, in, you know, all of us elected servants and appointed servants, whether they're judicial, and that's political more often than not, or our politicians. You know, Washington, D.C. would be a ghost town along with Albany and every other state capital. It'd be just a ghost town. There'd be no one there because they're all breaking the law, every single one of them, whether they know it or not. We got to fix it. We've become a lawless nation, and the remedy is to apply the law. And that's why we have this opportunity. We're going to take this president at his word. He's really looking to do something. He's not a politician, and he's pushing hard to fulfill what he said he would fulfill. He wants to make America great. I believe he knows and understands now, in order to make America great, it's not just getting things together economically, but it also is getting things together lawfully. If the government is evil and lawless, then so is everyone else. So is the courts. They all are. It's just a reflection of each other. That's all it is. We have to get back to the law. That's the key. So, organizing. We are involved in organizing. Everybody needs to get involved. They need to get involved now. As I started, we have about 900 people who are running for administrators. All you have to do is sign up. We need about 15,000 administrators across the nation, 4 for each county. You don't have to live in the county you work in. It's a job, paid position, but it also requires an education. Administrators need to be working with the structure within National Liberty Alliance in order to learn. It is sort of, you know, the experience, the on-the-job training. They need to be reading these papers. They need to be coming to the Monday night meetings. They need to be taking our two free courses. We have a civics course. We have a constitutional course. They need to be taking both of those things. They need to be involved reading the papers. Every time you read a paper, you're getting an education. Why? Because you're reading the words of our founding fathers. You're reading the Constitution. You know, almost everything I wrote, we wrote in these papers. Everything we read tonight, just 90% of the words are the words of our founding fathers. We just sewed it together and brought it together to make our case. We didn't make these words up. We didn't make these statements up. And, you know, we read, and you didn't see the footnotes unless you downloaded a paper on this. You'll see constant footnotes throughout this thing, and telling you where all of these quotes can be found. Okay, and so we have documented all of this. So we've got 33 footnotes in here when there's just this one paper, and even more than that, because we have other quotes inside. It's just italicized, and we're given the information on where that quote is found. And sometimes we just make the quote. But so this is the education. This is common law. This is the law of the land right here. And how do you get to know it? You get to know it by just reading it. You know, when we were children, no one had to send us to school to learn to speak and communicate and articulate ourselves. We were just thrown into the game, and next thing you know, we yell out something, and people respond to that, and we say, hey, wow, that's cool. And then we yell out two or three words, and then we got a sentence, and before you know it, you can't even shut us up, you know? And we didn't go to school to learn that. We learned that because we were just under the experience, and we were trying to understand. You know, someone's talking to us. You know, you look into a baby's eyes. I remember my children, you know, very young, and you're playing with them, and you look into their eyes, and as soon as you put a smile up, they smile right back. They put a smile up, you smile right back, and then they start laughing and giggling. And there's a communication there. It's natural. And that communication is something that is experienced, but some of it is just, you know, naturally put it within us. You know, language is within us naturally. We have to learn. We work it out. My point I'm trying to say is nobody needs to really have a high education here. You can be a grammar school dropout. As long as you can read and write, that's the key here. It doesn't matter what kind of an education you have. All you have to do is get involved, read, and immerse yourself in what it is you need to understand it. Don't try to remember anything. Just try to understand it. And I have found that if you try to understand something, you'll never forget it. It'll fall out of your mouth sometime in life. You'll use it. It'll just come out, and you'll wonder where that came from. And you remember, oh, yeah, I read that back there. Wow, I didn't know I'd remembered that. I know it happens to me all the time. And so there is no real requirement to be an administrator other than to get involved, okay? Everybody needs to get involved. We have state coordinators. We have an address and a presence in every state of the union. All 50 states, we have an address. We have someone that has gotten that address. We have seals. Someone has gotten those seals. You know, we got to make sure all those people are activated. And if not, let's get the seal away and pass it to someone else in the state to take control of that seal, and someone else to take control of the address so that they can receive mail for the grand jury of that state, and so on. And we have lots and lots of counties. We have thousands of county organizers. We need to re-energize them, get them involved, make sure they're working, and understand that this is the moment in time, the opportunity that we can't afford to miss. We have a president saying the right things and speaking about law. Just 2 days ago, he talked about his support for the Second Amendment, and he's going to make sure the law is obeyed. Well, guess what? We just wrote a Second Amendment paper. If that's not timing, I don't know what is. Today's Monday. He just spoke about this over the weekend, I think it was, or Friday. And Nia, this is going in Wednesday, and we're sending him a copy. He'll have it before the end of the week. He's going to have a copy of this paper. And so is his United States Attorney General going to have a copy where we're going to request prosecutors come after these judges who won't obey the law, who are going to try to snuff out this case, and all these people who are denying due process. We have 30 cases right now of due process denial by judges, chief judges, by chief clerks who have removed paperwork. These are all crimes. These people need to be prosecuted. We're going to prosecute them here in Albany, New York. And we expect them to send the prosecutor down to do it. If not, well, we got another way to go about it. But then we're going to call the president out, aren't we? Then we're going to have a problem with the president, because the president could do whatever he wants to make America great again. But if he doesn't make this nation lawful again, it'll never be great again. He's only fooling himself and the people. That's all he's doing. And I think he knows that. And if he doesn't, that's our job to show him that. And that may take a little time and a little patience. And if that's what it takes, fine. Patience is a virtue. Virtue is a quality. Comes from God. And that's what we have to develop. And God blesses us with that virtue and blesses the work that we exercise through that virtue. So that's how it works, patience. So that's what we're going to do. Gerard, you got anything to add to this, or Jan, before we move on?
I think maybe the only thing might be we have 979 grand jury administrator signed up, and we need to find out how many of those are active and on track and taking the civics course and the constitution course and that sort of thing. So we need some people to go through, shake the tree, and see how many people are actually active, how many people we need to provide some guidance to or help them out and coursework or whatever, and to check the list to see how active all these people are. So if you have a person who likes to make phone calls, I can give you a large list of numbers, as many as you would like, and we can see how many are still there and going strong, okay?
Okay, yeah, we've got quite a few leaders that are active, too, so if anybody that's going to get active and wants to be active and wants to take a leadership role, there are lots of leadership roles to be taken. If you go out to, again, on our site, nationallibertyalliance.org, and right on our front page, okay, let me get to it myself. Right on our front page, just click on, there it is, NLA plan, right on the front page. Just click on that, okay? Read that page through, and you'll see what exactly we're doing, what our plan is, and what positions we need to fill. There's a couple of videos here, and there's a couple of paragraphs to read, and then underneath of that, right underneath, it says NLA structure and purpose, gives the purpose of NLA, and then it gives the structure. We need people working with our news. We're going to start a TV news program with a virtual studio going through YouTube. We got some bloggers we're working with to try to get the news out, especially around what we're doing, the work that we are doing, and what effect is going on with the president and Congress and the judiciary and so on. We have national coordinators. We can probably use a couple of more national coordinators. We have committees. We have the committees of safety. We have the courtroom observers. We got the welcoming committee. We've got people on those right now that are active. We need more people, okay? Everyone should be a courtroom observer in your own neighborhood. Find out what that's all about, you know? We have investigative research committee. We've got habeas corpus committee. We have the Liberty Groups committee. We have the educational committee. Now, the Liberty Groups committee and the education committee, I think, is something, I don't know that we have anyone moving that yet, but we need some members for that. But we do have 15 or so people in the habeas corpus committee and in the investigative research committee. No, I think 15 or 20 in the investigative research committee. I don't know how many we got in the habeas corpus committee. Quite a few there, too. Maybe about 10 or 8 or something. But we need more. We need more help, okay? We need district leaders. We got 4 districts, 1 for each time zone, okay? We need state coordinators. Okay, we do have state coordinators in every state. We need more. We don't have enough. Some of them are not active. We've got to get them reactivated or replace them. We need 3,000 county organizers. I bet you we have every bit of, well over 1,000. I bet you we have 15. I bet you we got well over 1,000 counties covered, maybe even 1,500 counties, 1,000 counties covered. I'll bet you. Okay, we have out of 3,000, that's 1/3 of the nation. Okay, we need 4 jury administrators in each county. We got 900. We need 15,000 altogether. Everybody that's an administrator, I don't know if I mentioned this, should take a role in a leadership. That's a requirement in order to become an administrator. Get active now. If you're not going to be active, then you have no business becoming a jury administrator. We're going to make that a prerequisite. We have made a prerequisite in order to become a jury administrator to take the two courses that we have. That's a prerequisite. Now we're going to add, if we haven't already done so, we might have put this up a while ago and we forgot, but you have to be active because this is your on-job training. This Monday night program is your on-job training. The working as a coordinator or an organizer or as in one of the investigative research committees or the committee of safety, that is your on-the-job training because you're going to be involved in the events, what's going on, and in the papers that we're doing. It's an education. If you don't want to become educated, then don't take on a job because you're not going to be able to do what needs to be done. You know, when we break through in the courts, we're going to have an influx of people. And we're going to have a lot of people coming in here that have egos, a lot of people that are just opportunists, and they're going to see the opportunity to seize power somewhere, and they're going to seize it. And if we let that happen, it's because we failed to do what we had to do right here to prevent that from happening. We need to prevent that from happening. We have instructed the people who are becoming administrators, they must come in and understand, they must take a vow to God that they are going to go forward with a sense of honor, justice, and a mercy. And that vow is to God. And they are to police themselves. Those four administrators are to police each other to make sure that each one of them act with that sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And with any of those break outside of that those principles, that the three get against the one to bring them back into the fold, so to speak, or discard them from membership, and that, in other words, fire them. Those are the four individuals. We've also set up a process. And again, we've got this stuff written up. We're writing a book on all this stuff so people have a handbook. You know, if someone is dismissed by the other three, you know, we will allow them to come and make an appeal to the county next door, and then the county next door, those four administrators could come in and hear the whole case and make a decision to agree or disagree with the other three. Maybe it was a coup of three people beating up on one that was the right guy. Matter of fact, we've seen that happen right here in National Liberty Alliance. We've had this problem in two states where a couple of people were doing the right thing, and we had all these people coming to us telling us these terrible things about these people, and we started to go to fix that problem, and we found out it was the other way around, that the two or three people that they were trying to kick out and persecute were the people that were doing the right thing, that were stopping trying to stop these people from sabotaging our work. And we haven't seen much sabotaging going on in the past couple of years, by God's mercy, but it has happened here in National Liberty Alliance. We've had three or four big situations. We didn't lose much membership, maybe a half a dozen people here or there, but we didn't need them anyway. Either they weren't paying attention or they were just had their own agenda going on. Whatever it is, it's irrelevant. House needs to be cleansed from time to time, so that happens. But in any event, okay, if we don't police ourselves, if we don't make sure that we're doing the right thing and allowing ourselves to be judged by our fellow people that are, you know, administrators in this case, and reconsider the error of our way, if we can't come with that kind of an attitude, then we don't deserve that position, because we will only become them if we don't fix that problem. We cannot become lawless. We must be lawful. All right, I think that ends my things here. Yeah.
I just want to remind people, what some of the stuff that we're doing as far as we're opening up. We're going to shortly, before too long, be opening up an NLA news channel, which is also going to go on YouTube. And we do have people who have volunteered to bring in stories and vet stories and, you know, do that investigative research. And there's a lot of stuff I'd like to see on there. And don't forget, you know, we're sending papers into the courts now, up to the federal courts, and even to the president. So, you know, it this thing could move fast. And, you know, it's time to get in the game because, you know, once they realize who we are and what we're doing, and if they embrace us and say, yeah, we want to do this common law grand jury thing, just like Scalia said, I hope everybody's ready, because that could happen next month. And I know we're not ready. But, you know, we got a lot of stuff we can be doing. You know, Donald Trump has jumped on some of the fake news, you know, such as CNN and all these other ones that never tell the truth. They're way leaning left. So there's a vacuum out there, and we're going to fill that vacuum. Now, they're already gearing up to fight us before we even get in the game. They're already laying the groundwork with some of the rules and the laws and the things that they're putting out there to try to stop us before we even start putting our news out. So we have to get ahead of that wave. And so people need to get involved with what we're doing in NLA and these different departments and committees that are pursuing this news and that are helping us write the papers and that are going to help us put these newest stories out and getting them on YouTube, because that's the answer. And maybe even coming up with maybe even another alternative news feed besides YouTube, because YouTube likes to censor certain things, you know, that are a little too hot for them or that don't follow the status quo. So those are things that we're working on right now as we speak. There's something for everyone in NLA to do. There's a job for everybody. No matter what your skills are, we can use them. You know, whether it's writing, whether it's secretarial, whether you want to be a court watcher or a news reporter and get your press passes and go stick mics in people's faces and you know, on certain things that are going on and do these reportings, we'll be throwing them daily on our news feed.
Also, management skills and anybody who wants to learn a skill. You know, you work with the people who have the skills and you learn. We need everybody to help. Everybody can afford a minimum of 1 hour a week. Everybody. Right. You know, you should be able to put a couple hours a week, but 1 hour
a
week minimum.
Very, very, you know, look at this. This is fun stuff. You should have fun doing this. This is good because, you know, we'll be getting the word out and you'll see the difference that it's going to make. But I just want to get people fired up a little bit to and let them know, you know, we're turning over a new leaf as far as stepping up to the plate to raise the awareness around and get the word out. You know, we got lots of papers, lots of education on our site, but the way to get people there and the way to get them to read stuff, we understand that you have to get them within the first 15, 30 seconds, a minute, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do short little stories, you know, and then have links. So that's our plan. We need help. We need people that have skills to step up to the plate. There's lots of content, but we need help getting it. We also need help verifying it. We don't want to put anything out there that's not true, you know. And we like to do some interviews and stuff along the lines of Inform New Hampshire. Rich Merritt does a wonderful job. I couldn't say enough about some of his programs. Go watch that. We got a studio just like that now. It's virtual. Ollie's working on it. It's very shortly it will be done. And so we need help. And you know, we'll even, you know, we'll repost this stuff. I mean, we were doing that anyway, but like some of them are very, very on point for what we're doing. And we want to raise awareness, and that's what this is about. But get ready, because, you know, they're going to turn around and say, hey, we like this idea. We're going to give it back to the people. We're going to embrace this common law grand jury. We're going to, you know, my goodness, if Trump's prosecutor says, yeah, I'm going to prosecute it, we're going to use your grand juries, we're that's it. We're done. We're rocking and rolling, and I hope everybody's ready. And that could happen very soon. So just beware. Okay, I yield. That's it.
Right. By the way, is Brent here? I don't see Brent. Brent, are you here? Calling Brent. Do you see Brent in there? Maybe he came in without coming in as a administrator here. Anyway, as we continue on, take a look for Brent, Jan, and Gerard. Now, did someone else want to talk, Jan? Did we have anybody else or any questions that were called in before we go to the open forum here?
Well, I have a question. I don't see Robert B. I thought he would probably have a comment from the Western Patriots.
Okay.
But I don't see him on the list here yet.
All right. Do we have any questions?
Yeah, I have one. Question is, what can we the people say to elected officials who are running for re-election and have not responded to NLA papers? Is there a federal code that elected officials are obliged to respond to inquiries?
Well, look at common sense. Common law requires, the United States Supreme Court has even ruled that when an individual who has a duty to speak is silent or doesn't respond, that it's fraud. And if they're fraudulent, then that's a crime because they're vested with powers and they're abusing those powers. And there's two things we can do. Unfortunately, we don't have the controls of these two things yet. That's what we're fighting for. Either we can indict them. You'll not get a grand jury out there to indict these people on those things because they're all puppet grand juries. That's why the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is not a puppet grand jury. We will indict these people. And when we feel indictments will go through, we will start indicting them. As soon as we get some work going with maybe the United States Attorney General, we're hoping to get some prosecutors from them. If we can get that relationship going, we're going to start with all kinds of indictments. And then get moving these grand juries down into the, again, through the administration. The purpose of National Liberty Alliance, okay, let me make this point here to kind of make it simplified, okay? The purpose of National Liberty Alliance ultimately is to educate and provide for communications and organization for the people to empower them at the grassroots level. And how do we want to empower people at the grassroots levels? There's two ways, politically and judicially. Number one, first order of business is to create these administrations for individuals to come up, to become reasonably educated, generally speaking, work out of a handbook, educate themselves on the job training, which all starts right now today, until you get into those positions. And those people become the investigative body for the grand jury. They make sure that these grand juries and trial juries are not tainted, controlled by a judge or a prosecutor. No hooks are put into their nose and dragged around, and then they set the case up and stack the jury and all that. We're not going to permit any of that, you see. And that's the people. That's what the job of these four individuals are, to make sure they protect and keep the grand jury pure and the trial juries pure, unadulterated from those things, and bring to them the basic understanding and need for them to perform their duties. Remember, there's very few things necessary in order to be a jurist. You don't need an education. You could be just a common Joe. You don't even need to really be able to read and write. You just need to be a person who can communicate with another person, one of the people. Because the laws that they need to apply, generally these are criminal things we're talking about. So the laws they need to apply come from the heart. Remember, God says he wrote his laws into the hearts of men, okay? That's where the law, we know right from wrong right there. We don't need a legislator to tell us right from wrong. We don't want to be legislated to death. We don't want our behaviors legislated. You know, legislation is black and white, cut and dry. That's it. There's no mercy. There's no reconsideration of extenuating circumstances. There's nothing, okay? The jury knows exactly what's going on. They can figure, 12 people sitting down discussing the case after they listen to the case can figure these things out. That guy was full of baloney. He lied through his teeth. This guy is guilty or he's innocent. They know. They can work this out. It's not a big problem. Very rarely does it become controversial where they get stuck. Very rarely. Generally speaking, they know. Now, the law, what to do, it's all about restitution. That's what common law is about, restitution. Common law is not about putting people in jail. Common law is about restitution and restoring even, not only just the injured party, also restoring the offender. How do we fix this person? They got to pay for the crime they did, not by sitting in a jail cell necessarily, If it's a violent crime, it's one thing, but generally speaking, not for sitting in a jail cell. No, they need to pay restitution. And that jury needs to figure out what that restitution is, not the legislators. They can't figure that out. The people know what needs to be done. This is the way the common law works, okay? And that's what needs to be done. So the people know, and that's what has to happen. So the laws are written in the hearts of men, and they will execute the things accordingly. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to bring it back to empower the people on the grassroots level. And that's just one way. So when the grand jury comes in, let's say through the administrations, the administration, again, is the investigative body of the grand jury. The grand jury can, you know, bring their own issues in, and then the investigative body will assist those people to investigate whatever it is they want to investigate. And it doesn't even have anything to do with the cases that were put before them by the prosecutor or even by the administrators. It could be something totally all on their own that they bring in. The people have the right to investigate and fix the problems in their own towns, their counties, their neighborhoods. This is their right, their fundamental right to govern. This is governing yourselves. This is where the rubber meets the road, right here. And so when these elected individuals aren't doing what has to be done, the investigative body can look into this. They can make some contact with these people, let them know, hey, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. You're violating your oath here. You're doing this, that, or the other. You're taking this money here for your vote or whatever it is, okay? And you can fix it. And if they don't fix it, then you bring it to the grand jury, and then the grand jury has the opportunity to try to arrange or force them into obeying the law. And if they refuse, grand jury can indict them, and the trial jury will decide what's going to happen with them for the penalty. But at that point in time, they're out of office. If they're found innocent, well, it depends on how long it takes. If their office time is still up, I don't know. But in any event, they're removed from office. Once an indictment goes through and they go into trial, they got to leave office. All right. So that's how we get rid of the troublemakers, the problems, the tyrants in our government. The other way here is also what comes up from the committees of safety, which were also forming across America, which is how our founding fathers built America, with the committees of safety. And so the committees of safety, in 1789, when the Constitution came out, they morphed into what we understand as the committeemen, who was taken over by party bosses. Washington warned of this, and this is what happened. They seized control. And so we don't have control of the committeemen. We intend and have the power and the authority, once we're in the courts, to be able to bring that power back to the people. We could do that through the courts literally overnight, get rid of the party bosses, shut them down, and bring the power back to the people on the grassroots level. This is the committeemen. And the committeemen, they're the ones that decide who gets on the ballots. They're the ones that walks the papers. They're the ones that interviews the people running for office to see what kind of statesmen they are. If they're regular politicians, we don't want them. We're sick and tired of the politics. We want statesmen. We want people who are going to get in there and do the job that we're sending them to Washington or to Albany or to your state capital or even into your city council or whatever it is you're sending them in. We want them to do their job. And we, the people, need to know what those jobs are. We're that ignorant. We don't know. We don't know what a councilman does. We don't know what this one does or another one does. We have an idea, but we really don't know. These need to be defined. National Liberty Alliance will eventually get to the defining every elected office in America. And we have a lot of ideas on how to work that out. But go ahead.
I said mostly they spend our money. They spend our money and raise our taxes. That's what they do.
Yeah, put it in their pockets. Anyway, so from those two processes, to be able to control, and the other thing about the committeemen, you see, the committeemen get together, and when they see from their perspective that an individual isn't doing their job and they're not happy, they have the power of recall. Committeemen can recall anyone like that. 90 days, they can get them out of office. They got to get it on to it takes them 90 days to go through the process. They get the petition signed. They get enough of the numbers in the petitions, which they can achieve. Any committeeman group can achieve that. They get the numbers. Then a special election is put on to see for recall. And it's a 90-day process. And after that 90-day process, the special election takes place. And if they lose at the recall, and they're thrown out of office. So the committeemen can remove people from they don't want you to know about these things, by the way. They've taken control. These are the two controls that controls the destiny of every man, woman, and child in America. The destiny of our nation is controlled by those two things, the judiciary and political process. And we have no say in the matter at all. We have no control. They have taken it from us. They have seized it from us. We need to seize it back. And shame on us if we don't step up and seize it now that we know. Shame on us if we don't teach our children to make sure that they don't forget. If we don't teach our children, they have a duty to participate. Every one of us has a duty to become a committee man at least once in a lifetime. It's a 2-year term, okay? It takes 1 or 2 days to run your petition, and we're talking an hour or two here and an hour or two there. It takes maybe three, 4 hours to run your petition in your neighborhood. That's all it takes, okay? I think it's 11 signatures in my, or 12 signatures in my neighborhood. I go out and get 20 when I run for committeeman. I get 20 signatures and that's it, and that's it. It's that simple, okay? Once you get into the office, and unless someone runs against you, which probably won't, but, you know, whatever, then there's a different process to just an election at the primary. But other than that, you're in once you get your signatures, okay? When you get your signatures and you become a committeeman, ultimately, it's only a matter of 40 to 60 hours a year. You know, it's maybe an hour or two a month, okay? In some places, some counties, or some towns, you might meet every other month instead of every month. So it's an hour to a month, okay? And then during the election season, depending on what, if it's an odd or an even years are bigger than the odd years, but in any event, you'll have to spend maybe 20, 30 or so hours in the course of the election period time, a few weeks, interviewing people, okay? See who you want for your representatives, for whoever's running for whatever office within that affects your election district. You get to interview these people. You get to work as a group to decide who you're going to support and carry their petitions with you. And it's that simple. This is not something that you're giving up a lifetime or it's only it's a minimum amount of time, and it's an experience everyone should do. We should teach our children sometime in your life you need to do it. Everyone needs to go to a boot camp. We need to get that process going sometime between the ages of 17 and 21 or something. I don't know. We could figure that out. But, you know, people should go to boot camp for a month, learn how to use a weapon, learn how to work, with other individuals in order in defensive measures, okay? And then maybe once a year or twice a year for a weekend or a week or something, you know, just be refreshed in it. Because it's our duty to protect America. We are the militia. And when we give that up, we give up our guns, we give up our unalienable rights, we give up America is what we do. We're going to keep America or we're not. We have to respond to the call for the jury, whether it's grand jury or petty jury. We got to respond. You know, if you can't make it, you tell the person who's calling or who sends you the letter, you send a letter back and say, look, I'm a business guy. This is the busiest time of the year. It's not good for me in the summer. I'm good. Maybe you can call me in December or January. I can do it then. Or whatever, you know, give them the dates that you're available. And then they'll call you during that time period. At least that's the way it should be, you know. Well, that's the way we will make it, all right? Our children need to have civics. They need to have constitutional courses, but they need real civic courses, real constitutional courses. We will create them. Our children need to know and understand the committee man process. We will create that curriculum. Our children need to understand what is the duties of each of these different elected and appointed offices, and who appoints what, and show the structure of what elected individual appoints what appointed people, and what each one of these jobs entail. It needs to be written up. They need to have a place to go and see and understand all that. Okay, we will provide all that. That's what National Liberty Alliance will eventually morph into becoming. Again, our purpose, our only purpose, is not to rule or dictate, but is to train, communicate, train, educate, provide communications amongst ourselves, and also to provide organization in order to take the grassroots powers. Because that's where the power is. It's not as a leader of National Liberty Alliance. It's not where the power is. Power is right there in your own neighborhood, when the committees of safety, when the administration of the grand jury, or the committee man. Because once you're empowered down there, nobody tells you what to do. You guys do what you know needs to be done for your neighborhoods and how these other offices, you know, whether state or national, affect you, and you vote your way and make things work on those levels according to your, concerns and ideals. So that's how it works. All right. Brent isn't here, is he?
I don't see him.
Okay. All right.
I don't see him. You got to slow down. Right. I get Southern Poverty Law Center can't write as fast as you can talk, John. Radical stuff. You know, you're talking about runaway grand juries and runaway committee men and recall and the common man action under the government.
We'll write them in a paper and we'll send it to them. We're sending it to them. We're filing it in the courts for them. They'll have it in writing.
I'm telling you, this is pretty radical stuff. The common man actually running the government can't have that.
Liberty, yeah. Yeah, amazing.
Runaway committee and what recalls. What is this? A free country? What's the matter with you?
We're going into Q&A. I'm going to hit the button for Q&A. Anybody wants to get into the Q&A?
I can see them guys in circles after all this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What is it, star 6, Gerard, to get in the Q&A?
Yeah.
Star 6. Star 6, if you have a question or a comment, hit star 6.
Oh, I see Brett all of a sudden.
Brent is here. Okay, Brent, how you doing, Brent? All right, well, we're just moving over. I don't know, have you been here listening, Brent? Have you heard what we talked about? I guess he got in late.
I think he's muted.
No, he shows unmuted on mine.
Yeah.
Yep, me too.
Having technical difficulties tonight.
Well, it looks like he's trying to talk. I see his mic is open, but I'm not hearing nothing. Anyway, he may be traveling or something. All right, Brent, you've been muted. If you want to unmute, star 6. Okay. Anyway,
hello,
Brent, you can...
John?
Hey,
John?
How you doing, Brent?
Now he's coming through.
I just got on. Yeah.
Are you just running late? You're just getting in?
Yeah, well, I'm traveling again, but I'm glad to get hooked up. I haven't heard what you said previously.
Okay. All right, well, the thing was, is I was going to move. We ran kind of late. I'm just finishing my whatever it was that I did. So,
yeah.
But I was going to suggest that you just participate in answering questions with us. We're going to just open the mics now. And basically, we're talking about the Second Amendment, and we read a paper which we shared part of it with you. That 6 or 7 page paper has turned into 13 pages. Which is now posted up on our website under the docket page, you'll find it. And we're going to clean it up a little more, and then we'll repost it. But it's up there right now, and it's – let me see what it is for right now. What am I doing here at this page? Dockets. Okay, just for your edification, so you can go take a look at it, it is 1009-03, 1009-03, papers filed. Now, we haven't filed it yet, and I think I'm going to change that number to 2009 because it's the beginning of a new case for this governor in New York. But right now, that's the number it is. As a matter of fact, I'll drop it in your Skype box once we get the final copy for your final comments to see if you have anything to correct or suggest to us for final papers, which will be tomorrow sometime, okay?
Thanks, John.
Thank you. So anyway, you can pipe into anything that's going on here. I'm opening up Q&A. We're going to take our first caller. I'll just keep on Mike here for the next 5 or 10 minutes, Gerard, and I'll pass it to you at 11 o'clock. But Mike, we'll take Mike from what state? 716. I think that's down in New York City, isn't it?
No, it's in Western New York, Erie County.
Western New York, okay. I thought it may be Long Island or something, you know.
Yeah, great document that you read. The reason what I want to speak with tonight is last week I mentioned that I went to the SCOPE meeting up in New York for Erie County, and the sheriff was there. And all these people, there was probably 200 people there. And I just sat there with amazement And this sheriff, after talking to him, he has no support, but yet he goes to these scope meetings. And it's like, why aren't these people involved with NLA? And why isn't NLA part of scope? Because everybody's after the same thing. And then tonight, when you read that document, I mean, that's scope all over it. So here's what,
yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. You need to take the message to scope.
Okay, well,
We have tried.
Okay, well, here's the deal. My friend Sandy, who is also on the line, she's a member of Scope, and she's very integral in that whole Scope organization. And we were talking, and she wants to speak tonight a little bit. And we were talking on NLA, and basically nobody knows about NLA. There is nothing that's being promoted for NLA. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about yard signs. We were talking about even advertising in the Scope magazine and to get the people on board. And I would like to go, and we're going to go talk. She's going to set me up with the guy who's directing the one in Erie County. And I'm going to talk to him about NLA and to see if he will allow me to speak at one of the meetings. And I would like to take that document, once you get it refined, and to be able to present it, make copies of it, and give it to everybody there so they can see what NLA is doing. And I want to ask them, what are they doing? I know they're fighting for the Second Amendment, but basically they're just running with their wheels spinning because they use
lawyers. Let me just respond to some of that, then you can expound some more if you want. But let me just respond to a little bit of that. You see, one of the problems with a group like Scope, which is a very good group, they're doing certain things, but a lot of their members are, gun owners, and they belong to gun clubs and doing different things, but they're not really connected into the Liberty groups. A lot of them, some of them have got some experience back. Maybe they were involved with We the People. Some of them maybe into some of the earlier Liberty groups, the Ron Paul movement, and all the other things that have been going on, the different Liberty groups over the past, 10, 12 years or so. But most of them have not. And so those people, they probably haven't heard of us. But anybody who's really been involved for a few years and maybe been involved with maybe the Ron Paul movement and then some of the Liberty groups that came up after that, we at least have name recognition. I don't know whether I can say this. I think I might be able to say this. I can say that we are the most active Liberty group in America. I believe we can say that. We definitely have not been taken over by any outside influence at all. We have actually refused money from certain people because we knew that they would want to influence us. We wouldn't take that. Couple of big people years ago we've been approached by. So we are untainted in that way. We are all volunteers. We have just about 6,000 members. I don't know whether we can say we're one of the largest Liberty groups out there. And so we're there, and we do have name recognition. Pretty much anywhere we go, people say they heard of NLA. They may not know a lot about NLA, but they heard of us. But again, now when you get to Scope, Gun Owners of America and different groups like that, again, they're kind of sheltered and in a box there, and their concern and focus is only listening to what's going on with the gun laws. And so they haven't come out further than that. We need to wake these people up. It's a giant, a sleeping giant that really can be the final push behind our spearhead to get us into the belly of the beast, so to speak, with that spearhead. So we are going to try to get a campaign going to, once we perfect these papers, because the paper that's up there right now is up there so that we can read it tonight. I've seen some errors in here, and so we need another day on it. I would say Wednesday or Thursday, and we'll make an announcement when it's finished and we file it. That's when you want to download it and send copies to people. But this paper itself, there are two other papers there's three or four other papers going to be attached to this. But another paper that's extremely important for this paper is the memorandum in support of the Second Amendment, okay? It'll be attached to this. And also there will be, there's another paper concerning the communists that written by the Congress for the Bar Association, the communist organization, and it's destructive to America. And that was written by the Congress in 1950. And we also have, there's a third paper that's also is a jurisdictional paper, which is only one page, and there might be another one that's be attached. But at least this paper and the memorandum, that's what you want to get to these people, because I don't know that they've ever seen anything written the way we've written it. The papers that they've seen, if they've seen them and if they read them, were written by lawyers, and it's just a bunch of BS. It doesn't mean anything. It's not going anywhere. And they're going to lose in the court. There's no doubt about it. We at least have some hope, and we have strategies, and we have other people working to save America, ultimately, on higher levels. And we are trying to create the alliances with those people. And when I say those people, I mean the administration, the President of the United States. I'm talking about the United States Attorney General, who this president says he picked because he's going to enforce the law. He's going to make America lawful. Okay, that's what we want. We're going to hold them to it. See, that's why we have chance. And we also, another thing we didn't mention yet is that they've changed judges on us. And it's kind of a little funny because the paper we put in and they changed judges on us for, I think if they would see this paper first, they may not have put that judge onto us. Because his forte is these U.S. codes that we had mentioned, 42, 1985 and 1986, and 18 U.S.C. 241 and 242. This guy was a professor, and this was his forte, and he has spoken extensively on these codes, okay, which means he understands these codes. Now, the question is, does he understand it from the perspective in order to shut us down, or does he understand it from the perspective of really understanding it? And either way, it plays into our court, okay? So hopefully, we'll, if he's on the enemy's side, maybe we'll give him his Helen Keller moment. But if he's on our side, he may get the guts to step up. And if he sees the president and the attorney general and he sees potentially prosecutors being sent down by the attorney general to work with us, if he sees that, then, hey, you know what? We're going to win this case. But let's see what happens.
I want to add something to that. Look, we have lots of members. I don't know how many. I haven't taken account. But we have lots of members who are SCOPE members also. We have Gun Owners of America New York who are members. And they're doing a fantastic job, you know, as much as they can in the court. Larry Pratt is
they have to
good.
Bring the message to the groups, yeah.
And so it needs to get to the administration up there. I mean, the local guys are doing it, you know what I mean? And I think we're very close to that happening, is what I'm going to tell you, because the word is getting out, and we're hitting more and more chapters of SCOPE and Gun Owners of America, New York, for one, which their court work is pretty good. It's better than most Gun Owners of America. They're doing a pretty good bang-up job because they're not playing around. They're staying more constitutional, which is rare today. You know, they get messing around with all these stupid statutes. You know, Larry Pratt's of the mind that you shouldn't even need a gun permit. You should just be able to buy a gun if you're not a criminal and not have ask permission to have it, you know. So that's right. More of the type of stuff that we like to hear. So I can tell you that right now. So it's just a matter of time until, you know, that critical mass hits. Somebody up in SCOPE, the bigger guys up in SCOPE need to pay attention. Some of these other people that have different chapters need to bring it to them. They need to introduce them to us, and then maybe we can all get on the bandwagon together. So I yield. I just wanted to let you know that.
Right. That's
okay,
good.
Mike.
I appreciate that. And I can just imagine how the sheriff of Erie County, when he would speak to the SCOPE group, if he had everybody behind him, knowing that they, as gun owners, could be part and know that they're part of the militia, then he would have a force to be reckoned with. And then when he goes to take these feds out of Buffalo and the surrounding communities for violations of all of their seizures and arrests, now he's got something to work with, and he wouldn't be afraid anymore. And once we can get that court system open with enough members in this area, I think the ball is rolling. I think I can feel it working. And I want to do what I can in order to try to get the SCOPE people in this in our area, first of all, to come on board with us. And
this is the moment of decision for people, no doubt about it. It's happening right now. You know, it's been building up. We've been seeing it building up for, since the beginning of last year and into this year. And once this president was elected and he started doing what he was doing his business before when he was president-elect. He'd already accomplished and solved so many problems. So when he became president, he just signed him in and brought him right in. And he has done more than any president in my lifetime in just a short 35 days he's in office. He's done more than any president in my lifetime.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these people in this Gulf that I was speaking with and watching, they're very encouraged, and they're all excited about what's going on. And I know for a fact that they're ripe. I think it's ripe for adjudicating them into our group. So, anyways, I have,
they don't really have to really spend a lot of time with us and give us time, but look at, they should come here to get educated, take our free courses to begin with, because everyone should be educated, but get behind us in the courts. See, that's where we need them. They get behind us in the courts, put their shoulders up against the door with us. Let's break them doors down and let's take this country back.
I would love to have any one of them on the jury if I was being tried.
Right.
Because they are people. They are we the people. They're the sovereign. But they don't know what they are. They don't know what they are. And I think it's going to take us in order to teach them and to show them that there are other people that are working. And when they start seeing the paperwork that you're putting together, my God, that's it's scope all over it.
Well, that's the message we need to get out. That's exactly it. You hit the nail right on the head there. That's it. I mean, we spoke about this earlier before the meeting, that this has got to get out to the scope. People, I was talking with Gerard about it. It's got to get out to all the gun clubs. We've got to start in New York. Actually, we need to start everywhere. We're in New York. I'm in New York, so we'll start in New York. But we're putting the word out nationally right here, so everybody in their own state should be putting the word out, because what happens in New York is going to happen in your state, because this is a federal issue. This is a federal decision, and it's going to move. And we, National Liberty Alliance, will take this to any state that denies this. We will then take that, whoever it is that denies it in that state, governor, whatever, we're going to go after him right here from New York.
We didn't
intend on running this case in New York. Actually, in the beginning, we always thought it would be in New York. But then when we started working in Oregon, we thought we'd end up working in Oregon or maybe even Nevada. But then it ended right back into our own ballpark here. So we this is where we're at. And it's better for us because, you know, the major, you know, leadership and the people involved in writing this stuff and putting it together, you know, we're here, right here in New York. So.
Right. Well, Sandy from Scope is on too. She's got the 716 number and a 0462 last four. If maybe she could speak a little bit in regards to Scope and what we were talking about.
What's the last two digits on the phone? I see another 716. What's the last two digits?
0462.
Well, let me unmute her. You could stay on. I'll unmute her too. Sandy, you've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Oh, great. Hi.
How you doing, Sandy?
I'm doing good, thanks. Wonderful meeting you had going here tonight. Michael and I were talking about Scope, and I've been involved with them for a long time, and we have over 30,000 members throughout New York State, and Scope is 50 years old.
Wow, they've been around a long time, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that Michael and I were talking about was why does Scope have 30,000 members in New York State right now? We do memberships, and I work all the gun shows in Erie County, and we do Scope is political education. And it's drawing an awful lot of people. You know, you go to I don't know how many of you go to gun shows, but it's a family atmosphere now, and you get all walks of life, all political, you know, people that are non-political in there. But what we do at the gun shows, we sign people up. We get people to become members. We might have two tables long on some shows, and we might have two or three people behind those, but we actually get groups in big conversations, talking about things. They're trying to understand and learn, and you get really kind of some really good discussions going on. We have paperwork that explains how the New York Safe Act is affecting people, and you know, I look out and see these people. We have just every different type of person in New York State, but some of them, most of them, I'm not going to say most of them, but a lot of them just want to mind their own business. They want to own their guns, and they want to live in peace, and they want to be left alone. And they're not really up to speed on, like, who NLA is or anything else. The only thing they know is their own little world, so to speak.
Right. Well, Jefferson spoke of this problem. He said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never
Absolutely.
Will be. And you know, look at, we are slaves. We have been turned into slaves, and we don't even know it because we have been ignorant. We become ignorant to our powers, our authorities, who we are, what true law really is, what authorities these people really have. How come all of these different, because believe me, we have seen so many cases taken up against New York, and we've read these papers. How come they never asked them, where do you get your authority to make laws concerning guns? Show me in the Constitution,
yep.
because that's our question to them. We're in the Constitution, and believe me, we went through the New York State Constitution. Of course, we went through the U.S. Constitution many, many times, but I went through the New York State Constitution, and I knew I wouldn't find this anyway. I certainly couldn't find any power authority where they have any power to make any kind of a regulation on a right to bear arms, to license any of our liberties or anything. They have to answer this. And when you ask a question like that, and lawyers won't ask that question, so they'll play games in the court for a year or two and then throw them out anyway. They know from the beginning they're going to get thrown out. And the shame is this. We were trained by a lawyer to know how to write the papers to get into the court. We were trained by a lawyer. And this lawyer told us, he said, look, he says, every case I ever battled in court, as soon as I walk in, I already know who should win and who will win. Sometimes you lose the case because, you know, the judge's finesse, you know, he's playing games and he's on the other side. But generally speaking, that doesn't naturally necessarily happen in the cases that are argued. The point is that they know when they walk in the courtroom who's going to win, ultimately, because they know what's right and wrong. But when it comes to going up against the status quo, they all know who's going to win. So why these lawyers take the money from all of these different organizations to try to battle these cases in the court when they know they're going to lose, because they know they can't write in the papers the things that they need to write in there. So you have to get a non-lawyer. And if a lawyer did try to write what we wrote, they would disbar them. They wouldn't be able to go back in the courtroom again. Okay, that we can get away with it because we're the people. They can't sanction us. They can't tell us we can't go back into the court. They could try, but they can't, especially from our perspective. We're coming in as the grand jury. What are they going to tell? Who are they going to tell they can't go back in the court? The foreman that signed this paper or the foreman that's going to sign the next paper? You know, so they can't really do that to us. And we can say things that no lawyer will say or ask because they'll get thrown out of court. They'll get disbarred. You know, look what they did to the lawyer out there in Oregon when the Bundys were acquitted out there and others, not just the Bundys, but the Bundys and others were acquitted up there in Oregon. And there was no arrest warrant or anything coming out of Nevada that the marshals had to hold these people. And so the lawyer stepped up and said, excuse me, you know, you can't take these people because they want to take them back to arrest them again. But they just been acquitted. They let them loose. And in the middle of his argument, before the judge in the courtroom, they came and they zapped him with the stun gun. Okay. And the guy's laying on the floor shaking and stuff. That's a lawyer in a courtroom arguing a case by the marshals. I mean, where have we gone to, people, that we allow that to happen? Okay, but that's why lawyers, they can't do what we're doing. They can't do it. And so we, the people, have to do it. We have to educate ourselves, and we have to, and it doesn't take much of an education because we don't get lost in their statutes or their statutory processes of mumbo-jumbo. We don't care about that, except where it applies, and that's simple in different kinds of cases, commercial cases, usually in equity, not in criminal. So, hey, it is a cut and dry case. Need to get the case out to the people, and they should understand the language that we've got written here, because this is plain language. Go ahead. Back to you, Sandy, if you want to say anything else.
Well, I just wanted to just try to find your thoughts on how I'm thinking we really need to educate the average person out there, and especially the people. I'm trying to look for avenues that the NLA can be part of, or like, you know, you said, you know, different organizations, you know, backing each other and supporting each other, you know, but I think education is the number one idea that we have to, you know, explore right now, especially with the younger kids, you know, the younger children,
right,
and stuff. They don't have a clue, and the older ones really, you know, I think it's just been so much mind control that people are just like blocking it out, or they don't want to know, or they don't have any, you know, basis for any knowledge. So, you know, they don't really know what to think. And the media hasn't helped, because they don't,
right,
you know, just like with Lavoie Finicum, nobody knows what really happened. I mean, it's like a moot point.
If people came to our website, If they were to give us a chance,
right,
to come to the website, it's hard to do. It's hard to get a horse to lead them to water and then make them drink it. But look, on our front page alone, it is a long video, but the man deserved this long video. And you're going to, by the time you get to even partway into this video, you'll start crying. I know I couldn't help but do that. And I didn't know the man before he was murdered, but I certainly knew him after we put this video together, and it explains exactly who this man was, what he did, and how dangerous,
sure,
he was to these enemies of liberty. So right there on our front page. But beyond that, you know, again, what National Liberty Alliance is, let me rearticulate that also. You know, our purpose is to educate and to provide for an organization and communication to the people down into the grassroots level. That is our purpose, nothing more. We have taken the authority and the responsibility to spearhead the court cases up for what we call the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is a small group of people who are writing the papers. We've become educated. We've educated ourselves. We have experience in the courts. I've been in the courts, and Gerard has been in the courts. I think it's 8 years now. So we've got experience. We've been taught the processes of how to get in there and write the papers by another lawyer, a bar lawyer. We have learned common law. We've studied a lot of different things. We've separated the fiction from the real law. And we're approaching it from the perspective of our founding fathers through our founding documents. And on our website, we have free courses. We have a civics course. It's a long course. I think it's a 120-hour course to get through it. It's a lot of video and audio and then questions, so you have to pass as you go through. It's a, you know, we ask questions, and, you know, you get the, it's, you know, A, B, C, or D, or whatever. But then we also have a constitutional course. That's about an 8-hour course. So those are two courses that everyone should take. We do have an error or two in the constitutional course. We'll have to get to it to fix it, particularly on the militia. You know, we saw it from one point of view, and recently Brent had corrected us on a few things, so we need to get in there and fix that. But other than that, I think it's in pretty good shape. And if we find any other errors, we'll fix that. We also have a link there that just says education. We have all our founding fathers' documents. We have the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. We got biographies. We got a lot of state constitutions. We have essays and lectures. We have American history lectures. We have common law lectures. We have trial by jury essay up there. We have it both in audio and, I mean, we got so much stuff on our website. Anybody who wants to know what America is, where America comes from, who our founding fathers were, and what the law is, you will find it on our website.
So,
political information and the committee man process, how the process works, Robert's Rules of Order. Washington's farewell address is just amazing on what this man had to say way back when.
Scope should use us as a tool. They should tell their people.
And that's all we want, people. We just want to educate them.
Facilitate and use us as a tool. And the other big thing that they need to get into, and that has been very successful, is our court watcher system. And when these cases come to court, people need to participate, because all these rotten judges that are up there, one of the things that makes them behave is when there's people, when people are in constituents are in the courts. Just like the sheriffs need their constituents, judges don't work, you know, these bad judges especially don't work good in the light. And by having people there, you're in the light. When you support the cases and you show up and you do your court watching, you'd be surprised the difference it makes. So when there's a court, when there's a case coming into court, you know, we have a court watching system. We put the word out. People show up. We tell, we give the time, the place, the room. And so these cases that we're bringing to court, people should show up when there's a hearing. You know, if there's a hearing, it makes a difference. So that's what
right.
we're...
When you go to court, what Gerard, as Gerard's saying, you go to court, and I've been in a lot of courts just to listen in, and maybe for other people or for just to listen in or for myself, and you sit in there, it's all lawyers, all lawyers. But when you go in, and like when we come together in a court that we're going to participate in, you know, you bring 10, 20, 30 people into that courtroom, and all of a sudden it's a whole different environment.
Oh, they get nervous. You know? And look, when you go to court, you take notes, because we what we're looking for is we're looking for affidavits. You see, one of the things they do in the courts is they like to change the transcripts. And when you have, you know, a group of people there that are taking notes, and then they're going to write affidavits of what happened in the court, it keeps them honest. You know what I mean? It's very hard for them to skew things. So that's what we're about. If we could get together with Scope and with Gun Owners of America, and look at it, if Gun Owners of America's got a good suit coming up, NLA people could court watch on that too if they have hearings. Very important, because their suit is very constitutional. So we have no problem sitting there supporting their suit when they're arguing the Constitution, and we can support them, they can support us, and that's how we can team up, just by using us as a service, as a tool, as a facilitator, and then participating and becoming those administrators and jurists and grand jurists in their communities. Because if you're going to take this back, it's one county at a time. You're going to do it on a grassroots level, and you're going to do it in your county. And that's where we lost it. We've lost it in our counties. If we can bring our counties back, we can get the state and the federal back once we get our county courts back. And it's up to the local people. And Scope is very local, I noticed. Scope is a perfect one for a grassroots effort. If we could team up and get together, and people could take our courses and follow the cases and do the court watching, we're done. You know what I mean? And you'd be surprised what we could do in a year's time if we cooperated, you know, and really participated. It's not so much about cooperation, it's more about participation. Okay? I yield.
And getting back to education also, I mean, under our news tab, you know, we have White House briefings. We've got every White House briefing since the beginning. I mean, we made pistol today's because I didn't get to it yet. But we have the President's weekly address. We got a page for that. All of his addresses. He only had a few so far. We've got Trump in the news, which is different things that he's been doing and activities people has been meeting with, and just amazing things that this guy's doing. We have something on lawless government, a lot of things going on up in Congress where we do have some congressmen up there that are kicking some butt and bringing out all of the corruption. We also have Ron Paul, connection to Ron Paul's Sound Money page, more news. We've got different today's issues, a lot of issues in the news, a lot of things on our website. I mean, this is what we are. We're here to educate people. We've got books. We've got all kinds of different books that are for free. Not only are a lot of these books written books that you can download in PDF forms, but some of these books also, you know, we have audio for them. So, and, you know, even our essays and lectures, we have a lot of that's in audio. We have the Federalist Papers, both in audio and PDF, both Anti-Federalist and the Federalist Papers, biographies. You know, it just goes on and on and on of all the stuff we have. So if people, and you know, if people want to learn, they can come here. They could do the minimum things, which is taking our free courses and be instructed in that way. And then if they really want to dig deep, we've got all this other stuff. Because if you really want to understand how things work, these are the things you got to read. These are the things you got to listen to, okay? You know, one of our members with us usually speaks. He didn't speak today because he was running late, and he's also on the road. But also, you know, we're doing something special tonight. So, but in any event, Brent Winters, he's the author of a book called Common Law, The Excellence in Common Law. Okay, and he wrote a book, this book, and he's also got a website, which is commonlawyer.com. And, you know, that book there is probably, in my opinion, it has given me so much it has put everything in perspective for me, because it's given me the history of common law, okay? And you look back to see where it came from and how the battle took place to really keep it and how it came to America. It came into England and then into America. This is what people need to learn these things. And we've collected. It's all in one place. Everything you need is right here. And if anything we're missing, people let us know. We'll get it up here. Because,
you know, this empowers people, because when you get called into court, like you inevitably will, if you're taking our courses and you're looking at things, you're going to be able to answer them. You're going to be able to write some paperwork. You're going to be able to answer the judge. You're going to be able to proclaim your spot where, you know, your due process rights and stuff. You're going to know all about that. The reason they trample us is because we give them permission to. We don't understand what's going on in the courts. Once you understand, you gain a certain power and knowledge, and then you get confidence. And you know, they wouldn't be able to do to us what they do if we had the understanding of the way it's supposed to be. And we could not demand that. We could require that. Never mind demand it. It's required, which is a stronger thing. You could demand stuff from the king all day, but the king is only required to give you a few things. And if you know what those things are, you can require them. Okay? Big difference in words there.
Okay, we're going to move on. Mike, got a final word, or Sandy?
I just,
30 seconds?
Yeah, Sandy. I just wanted to say what I was trying to say about the gun shows and stuff is NLA, people do not want the computer. They want hard copy. They want to be talked to face-to-face.
Right.
And
well, that's the job of the people like you guys and other people that are part of those groups that can download what we have, print it out, and take it. I mean, I got a case that I carry with all kinds of printed materials, and I do exactly that when I get to meet groups, talk to groups, or whatever it is I do. You know, I do that.
A flyer? You have a flyer, John?
We have flyers. Yeah, you can go up to a website and get flyers. We probably should update some of these flyers, but yeah, we have flyers on our website.
Those, we were talking about those and yard signs, and Sandy does the fairs too.
Started working on a yard sign. We got a really nice yard sign put together. Matter of fact, I got one in my front yard that I had made to see how it looked. They did a very good job. I was thinking of selling them. It's difficult to sell things because, you know, we don't make that much money on selling things, and it takes a lot of effort on them from another level, depending on how we try to sell it, whether we go through the the individual, you know, sometimes, like, we have some of the stuff that we have people who are actually doing the selling. We just connect them directly to them, and then they send us a check, you know, for some profits for us that we put into the pot. And then some of the things we handle ourselves, and that's kind of tough. And we're trying to get away from that, but, of course, it does give us a little bit of an income. We do survive mostly on donations, and most of our donations are $5 a month. But we do have people that give up to $100 a month, $50 a month, some people $10 or $20 a month, and that's how we do survive. And right now we're in a deficit. We haven't been able to fully pay the bills out of our donations for at least 3 or 4 months now. So I've been digging into my personal pocket in order to pay for those bills. And that's coming to an end for me. So as a matter of fact, let me just ask for more money while I'm talking about this. Anybody who's not giving, please give us $5 a month or more. Help support the effort of what we're doing. We work. Some of us work pretty much almost 24/7. Even when we're sleeping, we're working, because I know in the middle of the night I wake up and I got these ideas, and I'll get up and I'll start writing at 3, 4 in the morning. So we're working all the time. And we've given up a lot to make this work. We've been doing this for many years. National Liberty Alliance, I think, has been 4 or 5 years. How long have we been? 14? I don't remember, 2014 or what. I don't remember. But we have not missed a Monday night call. We're not going to stop. We're going to win this war, and we need people to help to support us. So anyway, anybody can give.
I have mine taken out automatically. That way, I don't have to worry about it.
Appreciate it. That's what we got to do.
Sure. Yep, for sure. Okay. Well. Okay. I would like to do the fairs, too, you know, with Sandy, when she does the fairs, you know, to be able to have things that I could give to people. I mean, they come to the booth, they come to your table, you gotta have to have something in order to, I could never afford to print out everything.
Let me tell you what you do. Call Jan up. He's a national leader,
right.
Also up on our directory page. I'm sure you'll find his number quickly. Give him a call. Wait a day or two. I'll talk with him tomorrow. We'll check the page to see what we have for downloads. We do have simple flyers, and we have some, you know what, again, for gun people, I would say print off a couple of copies of these papers. Let people read them there, and at the end of the day, let them take them or something. But I don't know how you want to work it, because it is tough. For me, it's not, because I buy boxes and boxes of printing. I got 3 printers set up here. And one of them is really a fast speed printer, pops them out very quickly. And, you know, so I can run off quite a bit of copies. It costs money, though, but, you know, you're right. It's tough.
Right,
but,
right.
But that is it. The printing can get expensive.
Yep,
so.
For sure. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, guys, and thank you, Sandy. And,
yep, and thanks,
thank
you.
Mike. Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, we'll be in touch, okay? Thank you, Ben.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, I yield. Okay,
right,
good night.
We'll take our next caller. Thank you. April from North Carolina, you got the mic.
Hi. I had a question about what you read tonight.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing that in all the states?
Well, New York, this is a federal case. What happens here in this case is going to affect every state in the union, and whatever state tries to buck against it, we will go after that state.
Okay.
We first got to succeed here, though. Yeah. Look, we're sending this up. This is our this timing is perfect for us, and we didn't plan it. Matter of fact, we find that most things that we do, we don't plan it, and we get there. We say, "Well, look at this, an opportunity came." The president just spoke about his support of the Second Amendment, and he intends on really doing something. He's a big supporter of the Second Amendment, is what he said, and we are going to hold to it. He's getting a copy of this, and we have communications going with him. He is copied in an information. In everything we do, and we're going to be now doing it to his. He just chose his United States Attorney General. So we're going to, and he says he's a lawful guy. He's there. He's going to make the law work. So we're going to send him copies too.
Did he say that in his own like statement somewhere that I could look at it?
What's that? Yeah, he said it. As a matter of fact, if you go up to, let me see, go to National Liberty Alliance, go to the news, highlight the news,
right.
Click on, I think it's Trump in the news page. Let me see. Let me click on Trump in the news. I think it was the last one we put up, which I'll tell you in a minute. Well, it's a little slow right now. Okay, President Trump delivers remarks at CPAC. I believe that's where he said it, right there. If not, move yourself down. Yeah, I'm sure that's it because the one below it, two below it, isn't it? So if you listen to that message, let me tell you, what a great message at CPAC. What a great message, okay?
Okay.
You know, you got to love this guy if you're for liberty. This is it. So you listen to that, you'll see he speaks about being a big supporter of the Second Amendment. And so that is a flag to us. Now, again, we have sent him our papers. He has met with people that we're working with out in Oregon and Nevada on certain cases. And through them, we've got word that he was interested in more of our papers. So we sent them more. And now we've included him on informations and everything we do. Plus, we also including his. The president has been included in our court case. Everything we file to the president is included in our court case as an information, and you can read that on our page, which is under grand jury, click on docket, and you'll see the paper we wrote to the president, which I think was about 43 pages. We covered quite a bit. And and we've heard him say numerous things, a few other things that seems
to... Yeah, I quote him.
So
I quote him saying a few things that I knew he was, that he's listening by what he said.
Yes.
So, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
He's paying attention to the law, and that's the key. Whether it's actually coming from us or someone else, he's paying attention to the law, and we need to feed him on that. We need to feed him, and we're going to feed him.
Yeah. Good. The other thing is the common law jury administration vow. Is there a way to get one where you can download it and fill it out and then print it out? Because there's no way I can do it with what I got.
Yeah, you can download it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I download it, but I can't seem to edit it, like put my name on it or nothing.
Oh no, just download it, print it out, and sign it. And, you know, the vow really shouldn't be going to us, although people have been sending it to us, and I think we started it that way. It really, it should be going within the county. But for right now, we'll let people send it to us. When they get together in their counties, the four people in every county, they need to have a copy or just do another vow and put it in, keep it in the court, and that's your vow. It's between you and God, and it's up to the other three to make sure the other one is keeping their vow. We have to police ourselves. We have to make sure we're coming with honor, justice, and mercy. Without that, we're worthless. We're nothing.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
I agree.
Okay. Hey, anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, April.
Okay.
We're going to take Fred. How you doing, Fred? California Fred.
Pretty good, John. Do you have feedback, or is my mic okay?
No, you're good. Coming in good.
Okay, I turned down my speakers. Okay. On the document that you just produced?
Uh-huh.
I have a couple comments about it.
Sure, go right ahead.
Number one, you keep referring to rights. Well, you know, they're trampled on.
I'm pretty sure
anyway.
I say unalienable rights, don't I?
Yeah, you say all kinds of things, John, but I wanted to make a point.
Okay.
Nowhere in that document do you mention that the Bill of Rights are government prohibitions outside control of the government. That needs to be stated. In fact, use a buzzword. Say it's a government no-go zone.
Well, that's true. And I do appreciate that, and that is in my mind. And there is a place in here where we make the point. You see, when the Constitution was going to be signed in 1789, there was numerous states who refused to sign because they knew it was deficient, and the deficiency required a bill of prohibition. You know, if you go into the Constitution and you read it in Article 1, Section 8, which defines the powers of Congress, Section 9 gives the prohibition. You know, prohibitions, in other words, things they cannot do, something that is forbidden. And we do know that point was brought to us a few years ago from an individual who wrote a book concerning the Bill of Rights and made the point that this really should have been called the Bill of Prohibition. We do continue to call it a Bill of Rights because that's what people are familiar. We probably should attach the other word to it and make that point from time to time. But we do use the language that we found in the Constitution under the Bill of Rights, which was very powerful. And it is in this paper, and I'm just going to read it right out of the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Let me see if I can find it quickly enough. Time it does. Okay, here it is. This is the preamble. And it's two paragraphs, and it says, the conventions of the numbers of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed the desire, now this is in our papers, by the way, expressed the desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And is extending the grounds of public confidence. Now, we didn't write this part, all of it, but it is extending the grounds of public confidence of the government will best ensure the beneficent the benefits ends of its institution. Now, we do have that in this paper, and that makes the point. You know, this really is declaring the restriction. These are restricting clauses. And Jefferson made a big thing about this. I don't think he was available at the time, but he was definitely counseling the writing with the other writers of the Bill of Rights. I forget exactly who actually penned it. Who actually penned the Bill of Rights? Anybody remember? Was that possibly Adams? Which I'd be surprised if it was him, but it could have been. But in any event, it goes on and says, resolved by the Senate and the House of the Representatives of the United States of America and Congress, Assembly, two-thirds of both houses, occurring that the following articles be proposed by legislators of several states as amendments to the Constitution of the United States, all or any of which articles then, when ratified by three-quarters of the said legislators, now this is where we picked up and we have in the papers from this point, to be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the said Constitution, viz. And so we kind of have it there, but it might not be as clear as you're making your point that they're being forbidden. But I do often make the point, and maybe we need to put it in here a little stronger, I don't know, but I do often make the point that the Constitution is read in light of the Bill of Rights. And that's the power of our Constitution, is our Bill of Rights, because it is the restrictive part. We're restricting them. We're forbidding them to do certain things. So whenever you read anything in here, if it's violating, if they think that they can use some of these powers to do something that violates in any way these basic 10 amendments, which is pretty powerful and really says quite a lot, and of course there's more rights than this, but generally speaking, this is the essence, then it's null and void. And that's the key. It really is what I call the capstone. We have the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our founding documents. You know, it is the covenant made with God, the beginning of the covenant. We called upon God for his unalienable rights and his blessings, and then mentioned the blessings right here in the Constitution, which is the law, and the capstone is the Bill of Rights. So,
okay, that's great.
We are going to be working on, if you got a particular phrase that you think, you know, a sentence or two that you think might be important to include in here, write it down and get it to Jan. I'll be going through this with Jan tomorrow to finalize it. We're going to add a little more things, and we may add what you have to say. Maybe we'll reword a little bit of what you have to say, but send it to us. We'll look at it and see if we can't put it in here. If you see any corrections, anybody, that too, get it to us.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for the time. You know, I just think that when this case does go, and if you word it properly, they will use this one case and the Second Amendment for all of the rights. Because that
absolutely. Yes, that's exactly the point we're trying to make on this paper. If we get this, first of all, if we can win this case, and we do have a chance of winning this case, by the way, if we can win this case, and this case, even whatever they do, they really can't throw this out. We've got 30 more cases inside this case. This is just one of many cases, issues that we're dealing inside of one number. But here, we win this case, it's a federal case. This is in effect across the nation, okay, number one, okay? And any
right.
state that rejects it, we can go and fight them using this case, all right? That's number one.
This is your golden opportunity to also include Agenda 21, Agenda 30, the
that
UN.
That comes behind it. It's too much right now. Look, I hear what you're saying. Look, this does two things.
All part of it.
Listen to me. This does a number of things. Number one, it gets us into the court. It gives us power and authority by winning the case. It gives us power and authority and focus. It gets us news recognition. It gets us a lot of stuff. If the Attorney General, because after this, now we're going for prosecutions, okay? Not necessarily in this case. Depending on how this case goes and how much they fight us, will we go for prosecutions? But it's time to put people in jail. And I don't care if they're governors or senators. I don't care what they are. If they're breaking the law, they need to go to jail. Either stop breaking the law or go to jail. Your choice. But it's not just this. We have judges that have denied the Constitution and said it right in their court. You can't bring the Constitution. We have this on record. You can't bring the Bible in. We have this on record. Okay? It's a violation of everything and anything that is holy to liberty. And these people need to go to jail. We have 30 cases. You know this. We have 30 cases of people who we've done habeas corpus, which is just a statutory process of due process, which they should have received anyway, and they rejected even their own statutory process of giving these people their due process, and they rejected. These people need to be indicted, and we intend on indicting every one of these judges and potentially the clerks for removing the paperwork. But basically, these judges need to be indicted. They need to either repent and free these people from prison, or they need to be indicted. And we intend on doing so, okay? And we intend on doing that through this case. Those cases will be going on while this case is being churned over, and this judge is going to see what we're doing to other judges, because we don't care who they are. They're not too big for us to go after. We don't care who they are. And we've also signaled them with the language inside this case. We don't care who they are. You don't have the authority to do this. And if you do, we're going to come out after you also. We've signaled them with certain language inside here. When you go back and read, look for that point, and you'll see it in here in at least one, maybe two places. Now, putting all that together, okay, we're in the courts. We start getting indictments. We start to get power and authority. We start to get some indictments. If we can get the prosecutors coming out of the United States, the United States Attorney General's office, if he can send us the prosecutor, necessary prosecutors, because we've got lots of cases, to prosecute these cases, done. It's over. We're in the courts. We'll recognize. We can start to empower the people on the lower levels. State courts are irrelevant because once we move into the counties, the federal courts will force the obedience because that's their job. Yeah, that's what it says in Article 3. You know, this is the jurisdiction of the federal courts, and the Supreme Court ultimately is any issue concerning the Constitution, anything for cause. So we can push every single court in America to recognize, accept, and move over, so the people take place of controlling the juries and make sure they're not tainted. You see, at that point, it's over. Agenda 21 is gone the next day. All those issues can be dealt with immediately. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will continue until it cleans up all of these major issues. And all the other people working on a county level will be dealing with all their problems. And whatever they want to deal with the cleanup, they can do with it too. But the thing is, Agenda 21 is a slam dunk. First of all, it's anti-American, it's communistic, and right on those bases alone, we can start indictments on this. It's destruction to America. We can shut down the Bar Association, right, with using the Congress, I think it's the 81st Congress, 1950, who wrote the paper on the Lawyers Guild. They told us right off that the report says they're a communist organization to destroy America, okay? Well, that's subversion against the United States of America. It's not only in the Constitution concerning that. They have U.S. Code that talks about that and the penalty thereof. It's over for them once we get in. I'd say we can clean up America in a year.
I'm sorry, certainly. John. I forgot you are a wealth of knowledge, and I didn't take into context that you had a master plan. You're as skillful as Trump. I take
well,
my hat
we're
off
working.
You.
There's lots of people in working up here, and we are struggling to make sure we take these people down. But let me tell you, early on, we saw the simplicity. The devil gets into complexities, okay? It'll take them 100 years to move here and move there. They work in the background. They work in the darkness.
Have you ever heard of Simone Edmonds, a private, she was an FBI investigator who was investigating the judges, and she said that the higher you go in the courts, they have judges that are corrupt. They have to be bribable, otherwise they don't achieve higher positions. So the higher they are, the more corrupt they are.
I think John got knocked off.
John, Yeah, I don't hear him anymore. He went away.
I think he burned his mic up.
He was on a roll.
I think he got knocked off. But yeah, we understand that, and that's why Trump has been such a miracle, because he's on the top, and that's who's going to go out first. You know, I mean,
there is a web page I'd like you guys to look at if you possibly could.
Sure.
It's called, just a second. You need my glasses. God, I'm getting old.
We all are. We're all long in the tooth around here. I should speak for myself, but I just don't know where the time goes.
Licensed to lie.
Licensed to lie.
Licensed to lie. Yes. Do an internet search on that. And there's a video. There's a lady there who was a prosecutor that handled what you would call the Court of Appeals. And she said that these arrogant prosecutors, when they knew that the people they were prosecuting were innocent and had the proof that they were innocent, still went ahead and took down a big corporation with 650 thousand employees, and that these prosecutors were advanced. They belong in prison.
Yeah, they do. No doubt.
I mean, this little video is so worth seeing. You must.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Definitely check it out.
Licensed to lie.
Okay. I'll probably just get more depressed, but
no, but these are the examples of prosecutors that are in bed with these judges that just, they go after people and they don't really care. They have the evidence to free the people, and they're negating their own duty to uphold the law.
Well, only the people can fix that by reinstituting the law, because what they're doing is they're not using the law. They're using other methods of getting these people. They're not doing due process in the law. So they're twisting the law, and look at the methodology we're using. We'll get them, because they can only do those things when nobody's paying attention, when nobody cares. When the people come out and the people are sitting there, those methodologies won't work anymore. Once they've been exposed, they're done. And then what happens with these evil people is they start throwing each other under the bus. And that's what's happening today. I don't know if you know it or not, but they're all starting to throw each other under the bus. Pretty soon they're going to be like rats from a sinking ship. They're going to be leaving town. They're going to be disappearing. They're going to be getting on planes and trains. And remember that show, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? You know, that's them leaving Washington and leaving the courts. That's what I see happening, because it's game over for them now. It's game over. Everybody knows that the media is fake. Everybody knows that the courts are corrupt. So it's just a matter of routing them out now. That's all.
Well, it's all about the pedophile rings, and don't think it isn't. And Satan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's what's coming out now. And even the victims are out of the closet now. The victims are speaking out. I think they're done. And I think it's going to come down fast. It's going to, you know, when you roll something downhill, it starts out slow and it starts going faster and faster. That's what this is. This is a big boulder rolling downhill, you know, making an avalanche.
Maybe we'll have to pull out the old dunking chairs.
Yeah, well, that's just for fun, though, Fred. <It's> not, but we'll see what happens, you know. I mean,
well, that's story dices, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, I don't doubt you're going to see some of the real evil ones jumping off of buildings, because they will not want to be brought to justice. They'd rather die than repent, I think. You know?
Oh, I'd like to make another comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Comment is this. Now, the Constitution forbids for people to have like esquire or some kind of nobility. But turn that upside down. People are labeled as felons, and they're branded for life. That is the same damn thing. It's a form of blacklisting. It's unconstitutional and illegal.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the 50 sovereign states, is so you can leave one state, go to another one, and start over. And now they've got this network of garbage where they track and trace everybody.
Well, it's fortunate that it's coming down now, because look, if it would have went to where it was going, there would have been no hope at all, none whatsoever. The technology is so great that you can't escape it. So it's good we bring it down now, because if we let it, if it gets a foothold and it continues going in the direction where it goes, then all is lost, because you can't fight the technology today. You know, we're just lost to it. You know. So
that's one of the problems with the TPP is internet control and censorship, and they are doing it even though it wasn't ratified, it wasn't passed. They've been trying to create this facade for 12 years, and now the corporations are implementing it. That needs to be addressed pronto.
Well, Donald Trump claims the TPP, we're out of it, so we'll see how that happens.
What I'm trying to tell you is these private corporations like Google and Facebook and Twitter are actually taking data and inverting it and putting bad data out. They're screening people. They're filtering people. They're doing censorship, and that's part of the TPP. So
yep.
They're actually, with their corporate structure, utilizing the TPP when it's not even law.
Well, we may have to break them up, you know.
Break them up. The Ultraviarius doctrine for sedition.
Yeah, well,
take them out, baby.
Yeah, well, break them up anyway, whatever it takes. But we only got like 2 minutes left, Fred. So
did I hog all that time? I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's always fun, and we'll talk to you next week again. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Andrew, I'm going to unmute you, Andrew. Go ahead. We've got a couple of minutes. Go ahead. You've been unmuted, Andrew. Hello, Andrew. I guess Andrew didn't think we were ever going to get to him. We're almost done. We got a wireless caller, 694, go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Yes, this is Brian from Indiana.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian. You're a little low.
Let me adjust. You mentioned pedophilia just a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
On a website, Not Fake News, on YouTube.
Yeah.
He
I think I've been there. Yeah.
Trump took down 15 or. The police, under Trump's guidance, took down 1,500 pedophiles recently. You can see the article. I think it was under something, you'll not see this on the news.
Right. Well, like we said, it's starting to fall.
1,500 pedophiles. I didn't hear about it except
goodness.
There.
I wonder how many of them were judges.
Now, no. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. I yield. That's all I had to say. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And with that, we're going to close, because it is time. And thank you, everybody, for showing up. And we certainly enjoy your participation and look forward to having you here. And keep the faith, and let's keep moving. We got a lot of work to do, and we're certainly living in exciting times. Thank you, everybody.
Night.
Good night.